This is Rant Radio. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, is this Rant Radio?
It most certainly is.
Well, what are you guys talking about tonight?
You know, stuff.
It's Sunday night, and it's 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock.
You've guessed it. It's time for the What the Hell Show. If you don't like what we're saying, tell us about it on the IRC, Internet Service, Rant Radio Channel, or ICQ us at 51-558. You can also call us toll-free at 604-533-9191. We'll pick up the bill and send you the dime in the mail.
And now it's time for the What the Hell Show with Drex and Sumerian.
Don't look at it.
Sunday at night. It's Sunday at night.
All right.
Hey.
It's Sunday night.
And we have lots of microphones.
Okay, we have the new thing for tonight is we have three mics rather than one.
It's way better.
I'm a phone call right off the bat.
Okay, that's pretty cool. Hi, you're on Rant Radio. Who is this?
This would be Psycho.
Hey, Psycho, how's it going?
Not bad.
Did you know that you're on our show?
Well, I do now.
Okay, well, that's good enough. You're a DJ on our station, so it's no big deal for you to be on the air.
Yeah.
Okay, so
I'm almost used to it.
Almost used to it. Oh, it's only been, what, a couple months you've been on the air now?
Something like that.
Okay, is this something related to Rant Radio?
Well...
or would you like to talk to...
Really?
Or would you like to talk to Enki?
Well, somebody,
Oh, hey, tomorrow?
Yeah?
Between 1 and 2?
Uh-huh.
We're having a barbecue.
Having a barbecue.
Yep.
Only for an hour.
It's a big rant.
Between 1 and 2... No, show up between 1 and 2 or whatever.
Or after, whenever you can. That's
you're invited.
Starts.
Okay, it sounds like I'm going barbecue hopping then.
Ah, I see.
Went out scouting in Parks today because Sammy's family's wanting to do a great big barbecue.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks like our destination is either Alder Grove Lake, which isn't really a lake. It's just kind of like a big swimming pool on the ground.
I know.
Surrounded by woods.
What? Oh, okay.
And either that or Williams Park. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, cool. Well, all right, well, we'll talk to you later.
Hey, that was very, very, very rude. That was very rude.
Well, you know, it didn't really
that
apply.
Was nasty.
Right? I'm a... What?
That was nasty.
I had no problem with it.
You're not looking at me like I'm a big dink.
Yeah, you're a big dink.
If you could dink.
Throw the chair at him.
If you see what Drex looks like right now, you'd know why.
I'm an idiot, but not a dink.
Okay, we're going to start off with somebody died today. A celebrity died today. And we've got our resident wrestling fan here.
Well, he used to be a wrestling fan.
He's reformed now, but I'm sure...
yeah.
This is a wrestler from...
From the WWF. It's confirmed now, I guess, but it wasn't confirmed when
it's
I found out.
It's very confirmed.
That wrestler Owen Hart, who started out in Stampede Wrestling and worked his way to the WWF with... He's the brother of Bret the Hitman Hart, or he was the brother before he died. Apparently, he fell off some harness or something while making a grand entrance to the ring.
Oh, you already know.
Now he's very, very dead. And I'm now apparently going to read something about it.
Read it out.
I don't know the line.
Right there.
From Lowlight. But here's a message for your listeners, if you'd be so kind to relay it. A tragedy happened today during a WWF show, live pay-per-view.
Live.
Pay-per-view.
Live. Oh, shit. I didn't even think about that. Owen Hart, wrestling under the name Blue Blazer, died in an accident as he was being lowered to the ring from the rafters. That'll do it.
Yeah.
I lost my line. Oh, he fell 50 feet into the ring and hit his head on the... Oh, ow, on the post. He fell 50 feet in the ring and hit his head on the post.
If he was really lucky, it was a broken neck.
Yeah. Rather than brain spilling, I guess.
Fucking ow.
Some ugly falls.
Well, it's going to be all over the news.
You know, not to be cold.
It was live.
Not to be cold, but maybe Maybe all the redneck wrestling fans, maybe something good will come of it. Maybe everyone who watched that guy die in the ring today will maybe go, wow, I'm a fucking redneck, and I probably shouldn't pay money to watch this. See, I was
watching, like, them being lowered from the rafters on other shows, and I'm like, wow, that looks really dangerous.
Apparently it was.
Crazy, yeah.
Well, actually, considering the chances and just the stupidity they've been taking with their wrestlers, I'd like to call... I was going to call them workers. A better word is entertainers.
Yeah.
It's, like, surprising that you haven't heard about more of these morons, you know, spilling their brains, blood,
yeah,
and guts. Well, they keep it pretty quiet, or at least it...
Ravishing Rick Reed kicked off about 2 weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Really?
Actually, I...
What happened to him? What...
He died of too many vitamins, if I'm not mistaken.
Too many vitamins. He was too healthy.
We all remember he was a bit of a fat fucker, right? Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But did his heart burst?
Watch wrestling, which is something I'm very grateful to say I don't.
We're moving the mic into, like,
help
Dak's face.
I watched a quite unhealthy amount of wrestling from about 1980.
Mike, remember the mic? Not that mic. No.
Darts.
I watched a pretty unhealthy amount of wrestling from about 1985 to about 1994. And I totally lost my point.
You watched a lot
completely
of wrestling.
Yeah, but that's as far as I got with that point. There was something else. I had something like decent to say about that, but I can't. Oh, but no. But and like lots of wrestlers have died, and they've kept a lot of it quiet. But what I find more amusing is that the ones that haven't died, some of them have like found religion. Does anybody remember Tully Blanchard from the Four Horsemen?
Oh, yeah.
He's a preacher now.
Oh yeah.
And actually, Jake the Snake Roberts, who apparently was
for God.
we forgot to do something.
What did we forget to do?
Well, it's the beginning of the show. We have to introduce everybody.
Ah, yes.
All right, we've got Samarian, of course.
Hello, this is Samarian. And Drex, say hi, Drex.
Oh yeah, hi.
Hi, man.
Got Captain.
Pass around the mic. Pass around this mic. This mic's longer.
Hello.
This reaches
me again.
We got the chicken.
I'm back.
That mic's not long enough.
It's Dak.
Okay.
Dak.
Yep. It's you can say whatever.
Vortex.
Hi.
Projectile vomit man.
Hello.
Projectile vomit man. Because Drex is not holding the mic to his mouth when he's saying the name.
That's right.
You're saying
projectile vomit, man. Yeah, I'm saying it loudly.
As you can see, we're so professional here at Rant Radio.
No, he's got a name. He's got a name.
Oh, no.
He's got a name.
Always had a name.
He's
I don't know it.
What is it?
Shade.
It's Shade.
All right. We have DJ Shade.
Hey, no, that's distorting.
Vocal effects.
Special.
All right.
Vocal
also, we have Anki. He's
That's not the long one.
You're going to have to calm down. I'm fully aware.
Okay. Don't touch the mic cord. It'll hiss at you.
Anyways, so that's what we have here today. Is somebody else showing up?
No, Shane is not here, Bashukin. Can everyone hear us okay? Because we're like have different microphone levels today, and we're sort of experimenting.
Well,
sort of not.
I like the volume of my mic.
But whether the people up there can hear us fine or it's, like, massively distorting is
a question. We already tested this. We already tested
it. It's totally different.
And then you screwed it up.
Oh, yeah, right.
We tested it on Enki's computer.
Oh, that's right. But I played around with the levels.
Pass the blame.
Yep. Okay, everybody says it sounds fine, so that's good.
All right.
So let's say hi to the people on the IRC. You can get to the IRC, go on the internet servers, and the Rant Radio channel. No space there. We have Jeff, who's away. Jeffrey D. He hosts the show. Ofi Dofi, Psycho, Bashukin, and Everloving W, Fixation, Head Peon, and Theory. Hey, we sound good. Not even fine, we sound good.
Fixation fixated on.
I don't know what he's just never said what he's fixated on.
Oh, and yeah, Bashukin, we sort of used the file you sent me. We haven't really done much with
it
yet.
It's not really a full program.
But we're going to play it anyways because it's kind of
distorting. You're distorting. I'm going to turn your...
I'm not distorting.
Can you hear it go... When you talk loud? That's
when I talk loud? Yeah, but I just like having it booming.
We're in trouble then tonight.
Yeah. That's the bad mic.
Normally I have it further away.
See this one coming.
Shut up, you.
Okay. Yeah, Drex is wearing a salad bowl on his head tonight.
It's not a salad bowl.
What is it? What are you wearing?
Combat helmet.
From World War II.
From World War II.
What was that?
The Golden Age Flash.
Okay.
Only
yeah,
I don't have any wings.
Right. No wings. We'll
and
have to get some wings.
Gold, or was it silver?
It was silver.
Was it silver? Doesn't fly.
Neither does gold.
Oh, we think Drex might be.
Oh, we screwed up.
What did we screw up on?
This was supposed to be the Jello Night.
Oh, it's too late. Unless Anki goes.
No gooning.
No gooning.
This is coming from the alcoholic. I got way too wasted last night. No, thank you.
So did Anki. But this was our theory, all right? We were all going to get gooned tonight on the show because nobody has to work tomorrow.
Right.
Well, I shouldn't say nobody.
But most people.
Most
don't.
People don't have to work tomorrow, so.
Actually, is tomorrow a holiday?
Yes, tomorrow's a holiday.
You American Philistine.
No, trust me. It's just that I don't believe in British imperialism. Either.
What do you care?
It's
you
Victoria Day, isn't it?
What are you talking about?
In Canada,
Dak, this is just merely one of those holidays.
Is
where
this the province
it's
day?
It's guilt-free day off. You don't have to go.
Is it like?
Oh well, you know.
Is it Edmonton Day in Calgary?
He's sponging off the system.
It's Victoria Day today, right?
I'm supporting him.
Victoria Day, not
I'm gonna get
the city of Victoria Day.
Oh, okay.
Not me. Oh, dear God. The circus is closing in.
Pashukin got extremely wasted last night, he says.
Everybody did. Well, not everybody.
He says when you're drinking heavily, you need a cuss bowl so you can cuss in the bowl and not onto the floor. Huh?
What the hell is he talking about?
I don't know.
He's talking.
Cuss. I've never heard
couscous.
That. Couscous. It still doesn't make it any funnier. Does it make it funnier being couscous instead of cuss? Apparently it does. Okay.
Whoa.
See, Head Peon agrees. It says, yeah, it sounds kind of distorted when you speak too close.
Ah, quit your crying. You're a baby.
Okay, so it's not drunk night tonight unless...
Okay, how's this? Is that better?
What, did you turn it up?
Turn it down.
Okay.
Yeah, I turned it up because it was too loud before. So I thought, you know, I'll turn it up and it'll sound
still
better.
Still too loud.
No, get back, JoJo!
Get back to Reddit. 203 at 5759
Glover Road. Yes, that is my address.
Yes, that is the address of Radiohead Studios.
All right,
it's not
that's
like
another thing.
Find that out. If anybody wants to phone in and say something or say some weird poetry or
we've
want,
got the
wants
phone
to
number.
Swear on the air, you can phone
one,
in toll free 604. Well, you have to dial 1-604-533-991. That's 1-604-533-9191.
Okay, so
and that's
far,
on the IRC.
So far we've said a whole lot of nothing in a relatively short amount of time. So
which is standard for the show.
Yeah,
it's standard.
You said you guys want to talk about stuff, so...
Yeah, but we're going to go to a break before we do that.
Why? You want to go to a break first?
No.
Okay. It's time to go to a break.
We also have a couple
promos.
Of new promos.
Yep.
And we're
going to
play one of them for you now.
Yep. Here's the new promo, and we're going to play a song. Some new Pennywise. That was just
really
uploaded
short
to me.
One.
Oh, they're all pretty short, but I'll pick a really short one. Where's my Pennywise? There it is.
And when we come back, we've got a couple topics.
This one's 1.8 megs, so it's really short. Here we go.
Okay, height of stupidity. For all our American friends out there, Canadian Tire, it's kind of like, well, we sell automotive parts and household stuff. It's kind of like a really shitty try-to-do-everything store, okay?
It's like your American Target store.
Yeah, perfect example, except we don't sell guns. She comes up to the parts counter where I work, like automotive parts,
okay?
She comes up to me and she looks at me in the face and she goes, where do you keep your luncheon meats? And I kind of smile at this point. I'm blinking at her, right? And I go, what? And she says, your luncheon meats. Where do you carry your luncheon meats? I'm like, well, I'm sorry. I've said, I'm sorry, ma'am. We don't sell luncheon meats. I can sell you the cooler if you want to go on a picnic. We got that down the camping section, but we don't sell luncheon meats here. She's like, no, I saw them in the flyer. You sell luncheon meats. I'm like, in the flyer, okay? So I'm like, okay. Maybe it was, you know, there's a big distribution. Maybe it was for, like, the real Canadian superstore. I mean, they stock luncheon meats, right? She's like, no, it was here. I'm like, a Canadian Tire? Tire.
What the hell? Sunday nights at 9. You want more?
I said, wait! Can't believe it!
We're back on.
All right.
Oh
now
my
you
God.
Can, what were you saying there, Corey?
Some song lyrics?
Oh, yeah. Sumerian wrote a wicked song a long time
ago. Oh, it was great.
It was like a hip hop rap song.
Oh, yeah.
But
just song, that's what the world needs, another white hip hop writer.
No, you know what, though? You know what?
He was good.
He was down. He was from the underground hardcore. He had a song. He was hanging with the Ghetto Boys. You know, he had that song going on called Spleens on the Sidewalk.
Yeah.
Hey, can you sing it for us? Come on,
no.
Sam.
It was never performed. It was never even practiced.
Oh, come on. Well, you can practice it now.
It was so bad.
There's some lyrics.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yes. Shade can do it. I'm not going to do it.
Chainsaw or axe, decisions. I choose the axe that makes better incisions.
That's so poor.
Sounds like a speed metal song.
It probably would work better as a speed metal song.
I think I'm going to...
That's so bad.
I'm going to put some of your counterculture
MP3. No.
And we're going to have to play that one show.
We'll play that.
Oh, man.
Okay, we've got a pizza delivery story if we want, because it's kind of timely, because we're getting some pizza here soon.
We'll wait a little bit, because it's taking about 40 minutes to get here, so we're trying to end it, right, as he comes up.
Okay,
we tell it after he leaves. So if I'm going to be telling gross hospital stories, should I tell that early in the evening before pizza gets here?
It's his decision.
Yeah,
we're going to do the gross hospital stories now.
Here it comes.
We need like an intro or something soon.
Okay, the gross hospital stories. Ta-da! Okay, record this one if you want to, because this is the grossest hospital story I have.
That's what you said last week.
No, he said it was the second.
He was going to tell us the worst one.
That's right. Last week I said I was going to tell you the worst one, and I'm going to. I've got you all prepared for it.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Does it involve male genitalia at all? If it does, I'm leaving.
No, that was last week. Last week was the male. Last week was the male genitalia story.
What?
Was it last week or was the week
before? No.
It was the week before.
No,
oh, yeah, that's right. It was the week before that I told the male genitalia.
No, last week's was the toe story. We haven't heard the male genitalia.
Oh, okay. Seeing how we brought this up, I guess we're not going to hear the grossest hospital story.
No, you have to. Every time he's got a new story, he has to build up to it. Because this grossest story ever is just. It's bad. It's rude.
Okay, we're going to have to put off the grossest story either.
That's right.
Perhaps
thanks to Shade, we're going to tell the male genitalia story.
No.
All right.
Come back.
Come back. Come back. You want to hear this? Okay, so somebody just asked us for the Darwin Awards. If you know what those are, you know what we're talking about. But shush, I'm telling the story now here. Okay, this is the male genitalia story. Okay, as all of you know, if you don't, too bad, I was working in a hospital for about 5 years as security and kind of an orderly. So we get one evening, we have some young man comes in who tells everyone that he wants to kill himself because he's not happy being a man. He wants to be a woman. So, comes in, we put him in recess just to keep an eye on him, just it's a free bed in emergency. And as we're waiting, I have to set this up, just hang on a second. Okay, yeah, that's how it goes. I'm having to remember this. The last nurse who was in there, who put him in, wasn't very careful with what she did with her scissors. Now, the type of scissors I'm talking about, you might have seen advertised a few years back. They were the kind that can cut pennies in half.
Oh, yeah.
They're called power shears, and the actual name of them was the market brand was called power shears, and the nurse wasn't very careful, and a pair slipped out of her pocket and onto the bed with our friend. The gentleman who said he wasn't very happy being a man. Well, half an hour later, the nurse is kind of going by, checking some other people. We have her curtains drawn around his bed, and she kind of sees some vague movement through there near his lower extremities. Thinking that perhaps he's playing with himself, the nurse decides that she'll step in and give him a sharp word and make him stop doing that.
Hey, well, don't jerk off.
Not allowed.
Well, she steps in, and the first thing she notices is the lower half of the bed is covered in blood. He had managed to get through both of his testicles and half the muscle.
No!
I hear a scream come out of Marie. That was the nurse. Like I have never heard. I go charging in there. We have a spurting arterial bleed. I tackled the loony, got the scissors away from him. The other guard came
in.
The other guard came in, helped me hold the guy down. We grabbed him, got him up to surgery where they were able to save the offending organ, as it were. So that is the male genitalia story.
Okay,
was
this story enough?
No.
I can't eat now.
Pizza.
Well done.
That
takes a certain kind of devotion to try to cut your nuts off because you're not under any anesthetic.
He did.
The worst part
almost got through his dick.
Yeah, but still, no anesthetic, man. He's feeling the pain, cutting off the nuts. He's disconnecting, like, the skin chandeliers here, okay?
He never screamed. He never yelled. He never even whimpered.
That is willpower.
Oh, that guy. I don't need to hear that again.
That was truly vile.
Next week, yes, I will once again make an attempt to tell
the
world's grossest hospital story ever.
I can't believe that wasn't the grossest hospital story.
No.
That was nasty. That was vile.
I think he's got something to say.
Yeah, I gotta say, I think that guy's got a pretty clear idea what he was going. I mean, I've got a pretty clear idea how much trouble that shit's gotten me into. I could use to be rid of it. It's just I don't have the balls. Well, I guess I do. To go through with it. Imagine how much simpler your life would be if that wasn't the driving, pardon the pun, force in your life. I'm going to give this back before it turns into the stand-up comedy routine. Here you go.
No, we've got curtain room.
For those of you not familiar with our Captain Kirk. Captain Kurt, he is a mega comedian. He literally sucks
humor right out of the air. We've seen it happen. It's this huge, magnetic, black wormhole of humor-sucking ability.
Humor-sucking ability.
The unfunniest person I've ever known. Delivery of a joke? Nil.
with his level of comedic timing, he should be very grateful he's not a woman. Or
actually, talking about jokes, I have a joke. I have a joke. Here.
What's your joke?
Sure finds me funny.
Chicken has the mic.
The chicken has the mic.
I need to do motions, so I'm
going
to use this.
What are you doing?
The big gang. The big gangly guy is about to flail around the room. This is not
what are you doing?
Telling a joke.
If you've ever seen performance art, all right, it sucks.
Whoa. Question.
I'm sure this is going to suck, too.
Keep your comments
hand
low
just
because you have a mic right in front of your face, and I don't want to go over
just, I've got it farther away from
just
my face.
Just a point of order here, but,
I don't raise my voice.
But gestures tend not to work well on a radio.
No. But we've got...
No, it's not for the audience. It's for me.
Go to the microphone.
If I tell the joke, I have to do the motions.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, Drex is Italian. He has to talk with his hands.
Oh, I got to raise this.
Dear God, help us.
Please.
Anybody phone in
there's
right
this guy.
Now.
This is going to really,
two, four,
I don't do it very
five,
well.
3-3.
No, really.
9-1. 9-1.
You're not going to be holding the mic. You have all these comments, you're going to ruin my joke. You're not going to shut up.
If you're going to shut up, you don't need the mic if you're going to shut up. Right? Hey, fuck you. Tell your joke.
Hey. Calm down.
All right. Here's the joke. There's this guy. He goes to the doctor. He's got a problem. Says, Doc, I've got a problem. It's kind of personal. Doc says, come on, and I'm a doctor. That's why you're here. You got to tell me this stuff. So, all right, well, I've got worms. And the doctor's kind of, whoa, that's nasty. Actually, I don't want to hear that. Here's the number of a specialist. Go tell him. So he calls up the specialist. Specialist says, all right, you have worms, right? That's why you're calling me. The guy says, yeah, I really need help. This is disgusting. I'm losing weight. I eat like crazy, and I'm still wasting away to nothingness. And just the idea of worms wiggling around in my intestine, sucking all the food out of my body, right? It's just nasty. So Doc says, no problem. I can help you. What I need you to do is come back tomorrow with 2 bananas and a cookie. The guy goes, whoa, that's a rather strange requirement, but okay, I'll come back. Comes back the next day. Doctor says, all right, whip down your pants and bend over. He's, whoa, what's going on here? No, trust me, this is the best way to get rid of these worms. So the guy bends over, whips down his pants. Doctor takes the 2 bananas, stuffs them up his ass, then takes the cookie and stuffs them up his ass right behind the 2 bananas, right? So the guy's like, oh, shit, what the hell is this? And he says, don't worry, you only have to come back this month doing this, like, just for a month, right, every day. The guy's freaking out, but, you know, he's got worms. I'd probably get bananas and a cookie stuffed up my ass to get rid of worms.
That's a whole other different type of problem.
All right, so he goes to the doctor for a month. After a while, the doctor says, all right, you only have to come back one more time. But tomorrow I just want you to bring 2 bananas and a baseball bat. So he comes back the next day with 2 bananas and a baseball bat, whips his pants down, the doctor stuffs the 2 bananas up his ass, and then stands there poised over the guy's ass. Worm sticks his head out the guy's ass and says, hey, where's my cookie? Doctor, why don't you run the head with a baseball bat?
I'd like to make apologies to Captain Kurt because I don't think could steal the humor out of
awesome.
That one.
You guys suck. You guys suck cock. What's your joke, bitch?
So Drex walked into a room.
I didn't say it was insanely funny. I just said I had a joke.
You should have told us because you hyped it up. Like
you built it.
No, I didn't. I just said I had to use my arms. That's all I said.
Yeah, but
he means
a good joke.
That's an awesome joke. Fuck you all. I laughed my ass off when I heard that joke. And they fucked up the punchline. And I still laughed my ass off.
What did everybody else on the internet think about that? Send in your comments. Survey says?
You know what? Fuck you. If you're all going to gang up on me, I'm going to pull my knife and I'm going to kill you all. I will still kill you.
Hi, you're on Rant Radio. Who is this?
This is Ed Peon.
Head Peon, how's it going?
All right.
Hey, so what's up?
That joke was kind of lame about...
Yeah!
Fuck you!
Your material, man.
That was an awesome joke. You guys are all just idiots.
It was kind of lame.
Okay, you have a better joke for us?
More to say than it's
not really, I just had a comment on that.
You're kind of lame.
You know, I bet if you videotape yourself telling that joke, you could probably get a job hosting America's Home Videos.
Bang!
Somebody's hypersensitive.
So you didn't like the joke, eh?
It was kind of lame.
Okay, you don't have a better joke?
Everybody in this
room. I just had a comment on that.
Okay, what's your comment? Or was that the comment?
It was just a comment.
Oh, okay. That's pretty lame.
Yeah. Yeah, ha ha ha, funny.
Okay, well,
okay.
How's this joke? How do you keep a dog from humping your leg? Suck him off first.
Oh, that was good. Did you hear that one?
Hey, thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling. I think he hung up anyway.
Oh, sure. Steal the win for myself.
Well, thanks for phoning in, Head Beyond.
I else would have known that.
If you do have a joke, phone 1-604-533-9191, and you'll get your joke on the air. Or you can swear.
Or you can just type your joke in on the IRC. We'll accept that. Or you can ICQ it to us.
Captain Kirk?
I got one.
As a joke.
Sweet Jesus!
Bill Gates is getting a divorce. His wife won't do Windows.
Oh, that was...
What did I say about delivery?
That was so bad. That was so bad.
Oh.
True story. Uh-oh.
But this is directly related to your, like, dog joke.
This is shade.
I didn't suck the dog off, but...
Oh, God.
Do we want to hear this?
Oh, God.
You wouldn't believe the shit that happens to me, okay? Anyway.
He writes a column for a local newspaper. It's called Corey Stories.
I am Corey from the Corey Stories.
Yes, pleasure to meet you. I love the paper. Read disinformation. Wicked.
www.disinfo.org on the web. www.disinfo.org.
It's okay, Drex. I like your delivery of the website address a lot better than scenarios.
Okay, we got a Corey story.
Okay, this happened to me when I was like 14 years old. I used to live in Victoria, and I was biking home, and I pulled up to this traffic light, and I'm just sitting there. It's a two busy roads, just like Mackenzie Highway and Quadra in Victoria, and this big fucking dog, like a sheepdog, like this massive thing, comes up to me and starts like sniffing my leg. And I have a female dog at home, right? So I guess this dog picked up on that. And all of a sudden, next thing I know, it's up on its two hind legs and it's like fucking the whole like left hand side of me. I'm almost falling off my bike. The people in the cars next to me are killing themselves laughing. I mean, I didn't think the first time I was going to get lucky was going to be with like this dog. Like,
another species.
So it's like it's
trust me, the first time I got lucky, it was with a dog too.
Won't go there.
And I'm not. Well, never mind.
Thank you. But it was pretty shitty because I was like almost falling off my bike and the light turned green and I panicked. I was trying to get this thing off, so I kicked and kicked and kicked.
You're
and I got
to get it off.
Anyway, I kicked it right between the uprights by accident, and the dog got pissed, and it chased me down the street. This big fucking monster dog chasing me down the street. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Actually, I think Dax got a story about guys and dogs. You want to relate that one?
The Biltmore Hotel. That's downtown, and for those of you who don't live in Vancouver, it's in one of our, shall we say, less affluent neighborhoods. Yes.
It's colorful.
I got a job working there. I was night security there, and about 11:30 at night, I get a phone call from the night manager. He wants me to stop the patrols and go up and kick a guy out of the room because he's brought a dog into the hotel with him. Well, I knock on the door, and I can hear him trying to keep the dog quiet. And I say, sir, excuse me, you can't have an animal in the room. We're going to have to ask you to please either leave the dog out in your car or to just leave the hotel. Doesn't answer. Refuses. By the way, Shay just blew up his face and just covered his face in snot. It was truly charming image.
Might have
been caught on tape. We'll see if we can't put that on our webpage next week.
I don't think it was. That's too bad.
Anyhow, getting back to the story. So
Kept trying to get this guy to come out of the room. He didn't. Now, we're not allowed to actually enter the room. So I had to call the cops to have come down here so we could vacate a person. We could kick him out of the room. And cops get there, and we go up, and I take the pass key, and I open the door. And I see a sight that will stay with me, unfortunately, for the rest of my life. No, not a man fucking a dog. Let's try it the other way around.
Oh,
the guy
wow.
was completely naked on all fours and a great big German Shepherd up, very, very happy.
Between two consenting mammals.
The police, true, the police cuffed him. And as they were basically throwing a towel around the guy and...
What about the dog?
We left the dog alone, though he seemed confused. The cop turned to me and said, "If you weren't here, I just would have shot him." And I'm like, "You stopped on my account?" That's it. That's all there really is to the story. It's not that gross to hear it, but you didn't see it.
It's not that gross to hear it? What are you kidding?
Yeah, but see, this is in comparison to the worst hospital story ever, which I have heard.
I've heard some not worst hospital stories ever so far, but I don't even know if I'm going to listen next week.
Well, the worst
the toe falling off, that was great.
The worst hospital story ever, I literally got sick to my stomach.
Okay, well, you're just teasing us.
That's right. That's
okay, we're going to play another new promo that we made. It's actually all about me. Isn't that wonderful? Sumerian, if you don't recognize my voice. Okay, we're going to go to that right now.
Sunday at nine.
You're a Sumerian. The Sumerians have no rulers. You're a barbarian. You live free in the world. You owe allegiance to no one. Is that not so?
It is, and it always will be.
That's the wrong one!
Oops. That's the wrong one.
I'm like, wow, you sounded remarkably like Conan. I know that you sounded like Conan, but I didn't realize you sounded exactly like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Have you found it yet?
I'll find it.
That was awesome.
That was wrong. I was going, wow, that doesn't sound right.
I was just amazed at how much he sounded like Conan.
That's our Sumerian.
I'm Donald Ani.
Me and Ani are like this.
Okay, here's the actual one. Sorry. That's the original one taken from Conan
the Destroyer, the worst movie ever made.
Okay. I'd argue that, but it's
okay.
Close.
It's in the pile of the movies that we call the worst movie ever made. Never say the worst movie ever made. No,
but it's in the pile.
Over the rainbow.
No, it was under the rainbow.
Under the rainbow.
Ninja of the Magnificent. The worst movie.
Ninja of the Magnificent.
This is my point exactly.
It's on the pile.
You're saying one's the worst, you're saying the other's the worst. You have to see every movie in the world and have the computing ability to know which is worse.
Under the Rainbow, a Hungarian midget porn movie. The only reason I survived that is because I was so fucked up at the time that it just didn't sink into the alcohol content
that
was in my brain.
I was the only one in the room with the intelligence to not look at the television screen.
It's like an auto accident.
Everyone in the room was staring at the screen, and I was not staring at the screen. I was staring at their faces going, whoa, I do not want to look. They all had this trance on their face, this horrible, hideous mask. It was like the ultimate evil, and they couldn't look away.
The face of the Medusa.
It was nasty. Okay, we're going to hear
Here's the real one. Here's the real one.
You're Sumerian. The Sumerians have no rulers. You're a barbarian. You live free in the world. You owe allegiance to no one.
Is that not so?
It is and it always will be. If you want to know more about Sumerian, listen Sunday nights at 9 p.m. for the What the Hell show.
That was almost a bit of a letdown after the sorry, I mean, it's like, I like the version with Arnold better.
Shut up. Stick with you guys. We're not, you got no more catcalling.
We're a tough crowd.
Very tough crowd.
We're going to bring this.
These are our friends.
I'm going to bring the spear next time, and every time I get catcalling, I'm going to spear you.
Yeah, we have some jokes. Head Peon sent us some jokes. He didn't say them on the air, but he sent them to us. So we're going to go through them and see if it's just something he downloaded, but.
Okay.
I should have announced this before I actually opened it. Should I?
They're all going to suck.
Okay.
Anyways, okay, so one of the topics we're going to go over tonight
is
whaling.
Oh, okay.
Native whaling.
Hey, that's one of my favorite subjects. You
Native
fucks.
It's okay.
All right.
It's
now,
okay.
First of all,
I go.
What's that?
If there's other whales that beat themselves, do it in protest.
Yeah, the whales that beach themselves did it in protest. It's like a South Park protest.
Three whales beaching themselves about 2 days before they killed that one.
Oh, really? Perhaps it could have something to do with the amount of fucking garbage we've
All right, we're not on that topic. Good point, but we're not on that topic. All right, first of all, I'm going to mention that I know for a fact that I am not a bigot. I don't think anyone in this room is a bigot.
Wait.
I am.
All right,
Dax
is
so anything he says, you have to take that into consideration. That he is a bigot.
I should place the connotation that I am not a racial, sexual, cultural. I should say ideological bigot. I am, however, a slight cultural bigot in the fact that I think that if you come to my country, you should adapt yourself. You can hold on to your own culture. But if you come here thinking that you can still have your culture exactly the way it was from another country and come here and live in mine, you're full of crap.
I personally think that it's pointless to leave your country and come to mine if all you want to do is recreate your culture.
So in that, right. I am fully and openly admitted into being a cultural.
Although I have nothing, wrong with like, you know, keeping your traditions and stuff, but wanting to come and make, like, say,
impose your change
some
our laws
portion
because
of
you
of say Vancouver into your culture. But whatever, it's not a big deal. Whatever.
So basically, in that
it does annoy me when someone comes here, lives here their whole life, and doesn't know how to speak English.
Oh,
that makes me mad. Oh, we got a call.
No, it's not pizza. Hi, you're on Rant Radio. Who is this?
Fixation.
Hey, Fixation. How's it going?
Pretty good.
Okay,
Fixation, what are you fixated on?
Yeah, that's our question. What are you fixated on?
No, I don't know. I'm not really fixated on anything. I just have a name.
It was one of those names where you felt peer pressured into having some sort of internet name, because you can't have your own name on the internet. That's just against the rules. You'd be a complete idiot. You'd be a geek among geeks if you didn't have a false name on the internet. So you came up with Fixation, right? Is that it?
For me?
That's okay.
You'll hear it in a minute when your buffer catches up.
Yeah, you'll hear it in 20 seconds on the radio. So, what's up?
Yeah, no, okay, just wondering, I got a joke. I don't know if you think it's funny, but I'm going anyway.
Okay, it's a joke. Yep. Cool.
A joke. Okay, an elderly single third grade teacher was informed she would have to teach sex education. She was quite upset and refused the assignment. She didn't think she would actually be able to talk about the subject. Eventually, she changed her mind as the alternative was to be fired. On the first day of school, she drew a woman's body on the blackboard, pointed to the chest, and asked the class, "Does anyone know what this is called?" Jane, who was sitting on the first row, raised her hand and answered, "It's called a breast, and my mommy has two of them." "Very good," said the teacher. Then she drew a male body on the board, pointed to the groin, and asked, "Does anyone know what this is called?" This time, Billy raised his hand. "I know what this is. It's called a penis, and my mom... Oh, and my daddy has two of them." "That's the right name," said the teacher, "but I don't think your daddy has two of them." "Yes, he does," said Billy. "He has a little one that he uses to pee and the big one that brushes my mommy's teeth with."
Oh.
Teddy Bruce is my mommy's teeth. Oh, I didn't say that.
We heard it.
did you get it?
Yes, I did. The one he brushes his mommy's teeth with.
That's right. He's got the little one he pees with, and the big one he brushes his mommy's teeth with.
Oh, okay. I get it now.
It must be soft. Delivery problem.
Not bad. Not bad.
We have.
Well, you know,
it's a good joke I've heard before. It is funny, but the delivery needs a little work.
Need to work on the delivery. It was a good
joke. You have to read it a few times before you read it off the paper.
Yeah, well, I'm not very enthusiastic or anything. So,
that's okay. So where are you phoning from?
Kelowna.
Kelowna. Okay, so that's sort of local, but long distance. That's cool. Okay, so you want to say anything else?
No.
Okay.
No. Apparently, Anki has something to say as a joke.
Thanks for phoning.
We have a joke for Mikey.
Joke for Mikey.
Oh, God.
Seems everybody's having a little bit of a delivery problem here today, so I'm going to remedy it with a very simple, very sick joke. This is the worst joke I know. What's the best thing about sex with a 12-year-old?
No idea, Inky. What?
I can answer.
You get to pretend they're six.
Oh, wait, no, there's more. There's more. Yeah. What's the best thing about sex with a 6-year-old?
I don't know. What?
You get to kill him after.
Oh.
Oh, and the other great thing about it? Leftovers. Next!
Oh.
What's the definition of gross? Turning your grandmother upside down and using her for chip dip.
Oh!
What's the worst thing about having sex with a 6-year-old? Trying to get the blood out of the clown costume.
Oh, that's a good one. That's an awesome. Hi, you're on Rant Radio. Who is this?
Hi, this is Bob from Peru.
Hey, Bob!
How are you doing?
You guys ignoring my messages or what?
Oh, we're...
Like 1,000 ICQ.
The problem is that Sumerian does not answer his ICQ.
I have way too many ICQ messages.
He goes through this massive...
Darcy, would you smack Sumerian for me if you would?
No, I have sunburns. Oh, okay, good.
Sunburn.
He doesn't mind being smacked in the ass.
Okay, I did send messages requesting that someone say hi to Anita.
Hi to Anita?
Hi, Anita.
Hey, Anita.
Hey, Anita. Is that Anita?
Yeah, it is.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Bob, where are you?
He's in Peru.
In Peru.
But where's Anita? Is she in Peru, or are you on, like, a three-way call?
I'm in Peru, too.
Oh, oh bloody okay. Hell, that didn't answer my question.
Jump in the molar and come on over.
Jump in the molar sky car and come on over. So...
What's the shake tonight?
What's the shake tonight? I don't know. We're just fooling around. We don't even have a question of the week. Does anybody
We're going to have to come up with a question of the week.
Either
we
ask
We ask it and answer.
Fine. Okay. Ida has a joke for you guys.
Oh, okay.
All right.
All right.
Do you have the...
Hey. What do you call a vegetarian with diarrhea?
What?
Salad shooter.
Oh!
Okay, that was a good one.
That was
and
a good one.
Good timing.
That was good timing. That was awesome.
Hey, got another one. Got another one.
Okay.
How do you tell if your girlfriend's horny?
How do you tell if your girlfriend's horny?
Stick your hand out of pants and feel like you're feeding a horse.
What?
Stick your hand out of your pants and feel like you're feeding a horse.
Oh! Okay.
One for two.
The first one was awesome. Do you have a follow-up to recover?
Two out of three.
Do you have a recovery joke there, Anita? Okay, I need another one. It's really long, though.
Long is good.
Okay,
as long as
that's
ends.
Fine.
We don't mind a long
call. We don't mind long.
Worst case, we'll just hang up on it. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, this guy wanted to have sex with his wife and wasn't doing so good, so we went to the pharmacist and got sex pills, and it said in the bottle, take one for an excellent night of sex with your wife. So he's like thinking, well, maybe if I did the whole bottle, it'll be even better. Sit down with the whole bottle, and the next thing he knows, he's all going crazy. He's like, oh, shit, right? And then the neighbor comes over and sees the son on the step, going, what's wrong? He's crying. He goes, my mom's dead, my sister's pregnant, my butt hurts, and my dad's yelling, kitty, kitty, in the basement.
What?
You understand that?
No.
Oh, no? No? You guys suck.
Yeah, we're too dumb.
Okay.
Wait, maybe it'll hit us like 2 hours later and we'll all burst out laughing. It's the time zone difference.
The
if Peru
is
like too far away, we
the
just...
The other thing is like, just the phone quality is hard to hear sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't impressed.
I don't know what's wrong with my phone tonight, or it's maybe it's just like... Something's quiet or something. It's just not very loud tonight. Last time, it was, like, super loud. Maybe they just had loud phones.
Well, actually, last time, Eric was very loud voiced.
Eric
as well.
Was very loud. Okay. Do you have anything else to say?
Yep.
Oh, you do? Okay. I was about to hang up on you.
Hang up on me.
You want to swear in the air?
Yeah, fuck off!
All right. Okay, what else do you have to say?
Let's see. No.
Oh, I don't know. It's the wrong answer.
I don't know. All right, back to whaling.
Whaling.
Okay, now I have to get into the explanation.
No, let's get the joke. Let's get the question of the week first, so people can.
We don't have a question of the week.
I know, but we have to think one up.
Think of one while we're talking about
whaling.
Why don't we take a break?
Oh.
Think about a question.
We've got another. This is like massive
is awesome.
Phone calls. It's amazing. Hi, you're on Rant Radio. Who is this?
Not impressed.
Not impressed who?
I don't know is the wrong answer. That's when we hung up on you.
That's the answer.
Okay, what do you have to say?
I was going to talk to Darcy.
Oh, well, he's doing the show.
Who's Darcy?
We're doing a live radio show.
Oh, hi there.
No, here, I'll talk to him. Here.
And I need some information.
And we've got pizza people coming up. One second.
Hold on, you're going to go on caller.
Hello? Hello?
Hi, have a pizza?
Okay, come on up.
Here at Rant Room.
It's time for fuck
with the pizza
boy. Time for fuck with the pizza boy.
Fuck with me.
There we go.
Fuck with the pizza boy.
Hello?
Okay, we got some pizza coming up.
No, he doesn't get to leave until he tells a good delivery store.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to get the pizza boy coming in here, and he's going to tell us his best pizza delivery story. Because pizza boys and delivery people always have amazing, funny stories, because, I mean, they deliver to so many people a night.
I have one pizza delivery boy story, too.
We'll wait until
after we hear a professional pizza boy delivery story.
Yeah. And Shade has been a delivery person for a very long time, so he can talk to this guy and get him in here to tell a story. We've got a joke on the IRC right now that I can tell in the meantime. Mortician and his assistant are working late one night. Holy crap. No, they're in the other room talking to Drex. Are working late one night when the assistant runs up to the coroner and says, "Sir, this woman's pussy has a jumbo shrimp crawling out of it." The coroner disagreed, but came and looked anyway. The coroner then said, "That's not a jumbo shrimp. It's her clitoris." The assistant says, "Well, it tasted like shrimp."
Oh!
That was pretty good.
That was a good one.
That was Chaz 1999.
I've got a nasty one, but I'm going to wait till after the pizza boy.
Yeah,
so.
The pizza boy's like at the door, and I guess Shade is trying to convince him to come in. Hopefully we can get this. By the way, this is ripped off from SOAB's show. He used to be on our station. They used to have Fuck with the Pizza Boy every show. They ordered a pizza every show and tried to get the pizza people to come in and say hello or something on the air. All right. We have the pizza boy.
He's not inside yet.
Somebody made a stinky.
What?
Was it the chicken?
The chicken let loose a fart belch. The only way to describe it.
It was.
You're lucky.
Dr. Pepper carbonated belch.
You're lucky. People on the radio can't smell this.
Oh,
I can't smell it yet.
Be very grateful. There is no smell-o radio.
Smell-o radio.
It was Dr. Pepper.
There was something backing that up.
What did you have for dinner? Dinner or lunch?
Violating your bathroom all day today and bragging about it. Back up to your nostrils.
Anyone who's ever been drinking knows that the first dump you take after the night of indulgement is
enough. That's enough. That's enough. We don't need to know anymore. Thank you.
Okay, we're trying to get the pizza person in here. I don't know what's happening out there, but nobody's come back in and said that they're not coming in.
He doesn't have time.
And is that a valid excuse?
I guess so, but I need money. I need money for him.
Oh, he's at the...
He gets no tip. If he can't come on the radio, the man gets no tip.
He's got his work's permission.
What do you need?
So, the movie review for the day is going to be, what did you think of Star Wars The Phantom Menace?
Yes.
What's a good question?
What did you think of Star Wars The Phantom Menace?
No.
Okay, that's not a good question.
Take that back.
We'll take that back. That is not the question. Pay no attention to me. I'm a moron.
It's not the kind of question that we're looking for. I mean,
that's a question that gets endless debate.
Yeah.
Nowhere. Nobody cares. What
you know the other
The Phantom Menace? Because
you're
gonna go watch it anyways. And the best case scenario is they get really fucking mad at us.
Really mad at us. Can you imagine we give you an accidental spoiler and you tear our hearts out? Like, what if I was telling you at the end of the beep and he dies and I'm beep?
That was awesome.
Okay. Not only is Pizza Boy a complete and utter fucking prick, he's wearing a really bad fucking blue hat. And he forgot my pop in the car, so he's coming back up here, and he said he didn't have time. He was super snotty, man. I mean, I told the chick on the phone what was going on, and she was cool with it. And I used to work for this pizza place, so I know they're not fucking busy right now. And they're really nice people, but I don't know where they've hired this complete fucking asshole. But
let's diss him.
That's
open
okay.
The room.
Just happened? Yeah, exactly.
No, I mean, like, we need a gang dissing.
You know, Corey,
we'll make
right
a video.
You're visually pissing on your Coke. You know that, right? I know, because that's the kind of shit you used to do when you were.
I don't think we need to talk about that.
I think so. Give me the mic. I got to tell it.
This is a really brief Corey story. Now, this is Corey's delivery guy. He's actually giving another guy shit about being a prick. Now, here's what Corey did at one point.
Okay, you win.
What Corey did one time is Corey took a delivery to an apartment not far from where we are right now.
Who never, ever tipped previously and was always a complete asshole previously. I was just getting so sick of this guy.
Wow, listen to him get all defensive. Isn't
but
it great?
It's okay, because I'm better now.
You can be quiet while I finish the story. So Corey goes on upstairs and makes the pizza delivery. And he comes down, and he's right pissed, eh? Corey's in, like, a nasty mood. And he,
Hello? Keep talking.
You want to throw the pop-up to the balcony?
This goes.
All right.
Come in.
Okay, so Corey goes, and he makes his delivery, comes back, and he's right pissed off. And he comes into the car, sits down, and he's, like, fuming. I'm like, Corey, what's up? And he's like, fucker didn't tip. I'm like, yeah, so what? Yeah, well, I got him. Pissed on his front doormat. You what? Pissed on his front doormat. I pissed on his front doormat. You pissed? Corey, this is an apartment building. That's a hallway. You pissed on somebody's mat in the hallway? Yeah. Well, he didn't tip me, and he never tips me. So I pick up the sheet that he's got, because it was a Visa delivery, right? And I look at it, and the guy didn't fill anything into the tip box. So I look in. The pizza is, like, I think $23.50. And then in the total, it says, like, $27.50. So I think about it. I'm like, hey, Corey, that's $4. Isn't $4, like, a kick-ass tip? So the guy tipped you $4, and you pissed on his doormat?
I didn't know he tipped me.
I know. I explained that part to them already.
Pizza boy from hell.
So anyways, Corey instantly turns a Coca-Cola can shade of crimson. Curls himself up into as little of a ball as you possibly can in the front seat of a Chevette, and proceeds to deliver a little bit of solemn quietude for the rest of the evening. That's the end of that story. Gotta love Corey.
I just noticed something. Shade went downstairs and was making a big deal because the pop that the man forgot is Pepsi. Now, I think that deserves a beating.
All right, let's give him one. Actually, I asked specifically for a cola. Didn't have to put my pants down.
We need, well, you know, this is radio. We need the loud slapping sound. If I didn't pull your pants down, no one would know what was happening. All right, what we're going to do is we're going to play a song, and we're going to play some promos, and we're going to record some video so that I can update our pictures on the webpage. Not today, not right now, it won't be until tonight, but tomorrow you can check out the page, and it should be up.
We're also going to try to think of a good question.
Everyone else is going to think of a question.
And I thought we were going to talk about whaling, and then I've got my story about my buddy, Rocky the Junkie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the oh, Rocky the Junkie story. Story.
All right.
Star Wars coming up.
And we're going to discuss Star Wars as well.
Oh, God. Remember when you ran away and I got on my knees and begged you not to leave because I go berserk? Well, you left me anyhow, and then the days got worse and worse, and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, they're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha, to the funny farm, where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha!
You thought it was a joke, and so you laughed. You laughed when I had said that losing you would make me flip my lid. Right? You know you laughed. I heard you laugh. You laughed, you laughed, and laughed, and then you left. But now you know I'm utterly mad. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the happy home with trees and flowers and chirping birds and basket weavers who sit and smile and twiddle their thumbs and toes. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. I cooked your food, I cleaned your house, and this is how you pay me back for all my kind, unselfish, loving deeds. Huh? Well, you just wait. They'll find you yet. And when they do, they'll put you in the ASPCA, you mangy mutt. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to tear me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time. And I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. To the happy home with trees and flowers and chirping birds and basket weavers who sit and smile and twiddle their thumbs and toes. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. To the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time.
Who's
contact? I got it from the Okay, we got a call. Okay, here we go. Hi, you're on Rant Radio. Who is this?
This is Eric.
Eric, awesome. Where are you phoning from?
I'm phoning from San Francisco. Where are you?
We are in British Columbia, Canada, so we're in the same time zone, near Vancouver.
Okay.
Near Vancouver. We're in Langley, actually, but that's besides the point. So, what's up?
You know, I'm really disgusted with the state of poetry in the
nation
today.
Hi, you're on Rant Radio. Who is this?
It's Bree.
It's who?
Bree.
Bree. Oh, no, not DJ Bree. We'll hand you off to Enki now. Or do you want to be on the air and say something?
I don't think I want to be on the air.
Okay.
Well, you're not on the air.
You're not on the air. Okay. Oops. Well, back to promos.
Yes, we all know what's coming up soon. The fact that Rant Radio is getting bigger, bigger, and
even more bigger.
If you don't take my word for it, just listen to this little fella. Hello, is this Yoda?
Yes, I am hungry. Why are you here?
Well, actually, I was going to ask you to say the thing earlier that I wanted you to say.
Master made crazy. Or Insane McGough.
No! Never mind. Bye.
Fuck you too!
Hi, this is Gary Coleman, and I just wanted to remind you to listen to Rant Radio.
Sunday.
That's what it's about. Yeah, it's Sunday at 9.
Sunday!
That's our new theme.
All right.
What do we got to play? All right. Bree's coming over?
What? You're putting pants on because a female showed up? So you had them off because only men were here.
So? Oh, she's pregnant.
Anyways, we're going to get back. We're going to get back to wailing, and the only thing that's going to interrupt us now is the phone ringing, which we give
Where is the phone?
To. It's not ringing, is it?
No, it's not ringing. But I need it. There you go. Thanks.
Okay, so...
It's ringing in my head.
All right, now...
Please stop the voices!
Sorry. All right, wailing. Now, as I said before, I'm not a bigot. I have nothing against Indian people at all. It really bothers me when...
Or anybody else.
...chugs or any other type of racial slur. And that's like the most derogatory you can, right?
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. I don't have that much experience with them to... I know most of the people I know that call them nasty names are from the prairies or have lived there for a while. And they have...
What, are you dissing prairie people now?
No, but they see... The only people they see are the drunk ones because, well, all they do in the prairies is go to the bar. So,
and the white people don't do that?
That's what I'm talking about. The people that are seeing them see them at the bar.
It isn't just in the prairies. If you go into the interior, too, that's all you see.
Okay, all I'm saying is I don't have that experience, and whatever. However, okay, they're saying they want to whale, they have the right to whale, because it's their tradition.
This is the Macaw tribe down in Washington.
Oh, but not just them.
There was a tribe in the...
I think it's fair to say
they're just the ones that have permission.
I think it's fair to say,
no, okay.
Really?
It happened also in Canada last year in the Northwest Territories. However, the American media did not make quite the same big deal about it.
Okay,
it's
anyways,
Canadian.
But it's fair to say that almost all native bands would support them because they all want their traditions. Whaling is not a tradition; it's a way of life. All right, they didn't whale because. Well, my ancestors whaled. They whaled because they wanted food. They needed blubber. They needed stuff like that. It was a way of life. It's not like building masts or totem poles. That's tradition. Dances, like celebration. That's tradition.
It was to gather food.
That's right. It was a way of life. Way of life. Just like going
fishing.
To work. I'm not going to 100 years have my kids going, well, you know, now that we have teleporters and email, we don't need couriers anymore. I demand that people send things by courier because it's my tradition. My great-great-great-grandfather was a courier, and I demand that I have the tradition of being a courier, even though we don't need them anymore.
I'm going to get paid for
The argument
it's
that,
no longer economically feasible.
The argument that the Indians are using is that given the cultural tradition of importance that whaling placed in their society, that it's...
Bullshit!
Whaling?
No, look, I'm not defending it. I'm just giving their argument.
And he can defend it all he wants.
No, I can't, because, trust me, I fucking can't.
Hey, defend it all
you
want.
Okay.
Okay.
I
read this, which I thought was actually rather amusing in the papers. One of the Macaw spokespeople said, you know, they're trying to play up, of course, on all the traditional, you know, association with, you know, native animals and that type of thing, right?
And they're saying, in our culture, the whale is a great warrior. He wants to die. My response to that is, okay, which one of you people in your tribe is a warrior? Because I think you want to die.
Okay.
Okay? So,
all right.
So point yourself out, and let me take one of your 50 caliber sniping rifles that you used on the whale, and I will gladly cut you in fucking half.
All right.
Because that's our white person tradition. Yeah!
If you're going with the white person tradition, okay.
Here, have
whaling,
a blanket.
Whaling is not a tradition. Well, if you want to call whaling a tradition, is it a tradition of all cultures on the planet? All cultures. Asians, Africans, North Americans, Europeans, they all
the greedy ones.
Whale. They've all whaled in their life.
Yes.
Right? We were whaling, so were the Indians. So what? We don't whale anymore. Why? We don't need it anymore. It was a way of life. It was not a tradition.
We're civilized?
Whether it does or not is not...
You know, last time I checked, if a whale wanted to die, they throw themselves on the beach. Is that suicide for whales? Go on.
Well, going back to something, I found out something the other day that I did not know, and I found extremely disgusting. Until about 8-9 years ago, all transmission fluid contained at least 30-40% whale oil.
Oh, fucking gross. That makes us all guilty.
All cars.
No, you're guilty if you knew about it and you kept driving your car.
You,
oh,
you are aware that, like, most perfumes and shit are made from whale meat.
No, it's not whale fuel. It's from
oil.
A part of the oil called spermicide.
From sperm whales. You can only get it from sperm whales.
Yes.
You know Moby Dick?
Yeah.
He had a lot of sperm in him.
No.
He did.
Actually, what it is the head of basically a whale with a sperm whale contains a...
You're getting all this information from Moby Dick, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I'm actually getting it because I am a nature program maniac. Junkie.
Yeah, but you know the people that wrote that? They got it from Moby Dick.
Lauren Green sucks.
Well, he's right. Lauren Green does suck, but he's dead now, thank God. But so's Haas and Little Joe.
Okay, to go on with this native thing, though, the only excuse, the only reason that I support natives with land claims and stuff like that. Because really, if we're going to give the land back, what about the poor Romans? You know, they were kicked out by the barbarians. What the hell's with that? We should give all the land in Europe back to the Romans. Oh, wait, no, they took it from someone else.
I'm Irish. Let's not even get into a land claims please, let's just stay out of that one.
If you look at things from an evolutionary scale, all of our roots descend from Africa because that was the earliest known culture. So I think we should give the entire world back to the Africans.
Yeah, but there's a difference, though. In each of these cases, none of them had pending litigation or had some sort of trial. Oh,
hi, you're on Rant Radio. Who is this?
Fuck you.
Fuck you's on the radio. Hey, so what do you have to say?
Hey, what's happening?
Oh, where are you from?
Bob.
From hey, that bitch,
it's Bob.
From Peru.
You've thought of something to say?
Actually, I've got a joke.
Oh, okay.
All right, Bob.
Hand off to another joke. I'm going to hand you off to Anita.
Oh, okay.
All right, Anita.
This is her last chance, man.
Anita Beer.
Anita Beer.
Is that your joke?
That was my joke. Here's Anita.
We're going to kill you when you get out of the town, Bob.
That was a bad joke. Okay, you have the joke?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
When you cross Raggedy Ann, a hooker, and a Pillsbury Doughboy?
I have no idea.
A redhead slept with a bad yeast infection.
Oh. That's not bad.
Good.
That's not bad. That's pretty good.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Problem.
Is that it?
Pardon?
You want to swear in the air?
Fuck off!
Well, she asked us to, so we
can. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. The support I give to them comes not from thinking they deserve land back, because I just think that it's outdated. All right? No alive Indian today was alive when their land was stolen from them. They've had shitty things happen to them, but the shitty thing has happened because they stuck them on reserves and they're not real people. They're real people, but you know what I mean. They don't have...
They're defeated people only in their own mind.
The one problem is here within Canada as opposed to the United States, the validation or the validity of the Indian land claim has to do with the fact that, one, it was never actually conquered. The Indians in BC were not a conquered people. The land was placed in a trust with the British government, by the Indians, and by the British government under the understanding that the land would be returned.
Doesn't matter.
No, that's... This is what I'm saying. The land claim for the Indians in BC and in other parts of Canada are based on a legal validation.
It doesn't matter.
Why doesn't it matter?
Because it's all a bunch of bullshit. Yeah.
Okay, no, Dark. Okay.
No, this is why, all right?
Yeah.
This is a kick-ass country. It's been voted numerous times the best place in the world to live in Canada. And they're complaining that...
You're not native.
Yeah, they're... Yes, but they live on reserves as a choice. Any one of them could leave the reserve, go get a job, and live like any white...
So no, what you're saying is then that they can basically adopt our culture and have to be our part of our thing.
No.
But you see...
They can...
However,
that is my point. That is remember I said there was one thing I supported them on? I think that I don't see a problem giving them land, but I don't think they should have special rights. I don't think they should have a special government.
Hi, you're on Rant Radio. Who is this?
Nadine.
Who is it?
Nadine.
All right.
Right.
What do you have to say?
I have a joke for you.
All right.
Okay. Who makes more money, a prostitute or a drug dealer?
I don't know who.
Who?
A prostitute can clean her crack and reuse it.
Oh, that was
all the chicks with the
that's
nasty
not bad.
Ones.
Yeah, all the chicks have the really nasty ones. That's awesome. Where are you phoning from?
Victoria.
Where?
Victoria.
Awesome. Oh, right. All right. Another BC.
Oh, yeah.
Another BC-er. All right.
Awesome.
In honor of tomorrow's holiday.
Thank you.
I'm coming to visit you guys tomorrow.
What?
I'm going to visit tomorrow.
Sure, come on over. There's a barbecue.
Okay, what are we having?
Whatever you bring.
Whale!
Oh,
no.
The Indians have sold it to us.
Oh, whale?
Because they're not going to use it for anything else.
It's called battery farm now.
No, we don't have whale.
We don't have whale?
It's whatever you bring. So the barbecue's at Drex's house. What's the address?
344-199 A Street, Langley.
Did you get that?
No.
Oh, yes.
3444-198-199A Street, Langley.
I'll be there.
Awesome.
The bell is on.
Okay. Well, we'll see you tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay.
Who the hell was that?
I have no idea who that was. But that was
okay.
Cool.
Just, okay.
I didn't know we had it.
My support,
female
okay.
listeners.
I have to get back onto this native thing. We keep getting interrupted. Although, it's cool that we're getting interrupted
yeah.
by phone calls. We've gotten so many today. This is like,
the best phone call
show.
And we don't have anywhere near the number of listeners that we had last week or the week before, but we're yeah. getting, like, massive phone calls.
Okay, anyways.
Doesn't matter.
So,
who cares? Okay, that's.
We'll go to that next phone call.
No, it's free. Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Ooh, that was sent to us.
Ooh.
I like that.
Okay, we're going to have a women's point of view soon, so.
Okay.
We haven't had that in a while.
She's outspoken, too.
Very outspoken?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay, that's great.
That's true.
All right.
As if dress isn't. Maybe it'll balance.
Just
the balance
up.
Of power has been restored. There is another.
All right. Now. Okay.
Bastard.
Volume
no, oh. No, it's full. I didn't touch that.
That was Drex just.
Anyways, we just.
By the way, we just heard the.
Bitch about my.
I have a smoke detector.
And we have
in
to
my
talk
house.
About it every week. The smoke alarm just warned us that it's working. It
what is the point? What is the point of a smoke alarm telling you that it's working? If it's not working, you're not going to notice it not doing that.
Anyways.
Whatever.
Okay, back to the topic. The totally brutalized topic.
Brutalized.
Now, I don't even know what the fuck I was talking about.
Wailing.
Minions.
Sort of
Wailing. All right. I think they should be given land. But I think it should just be, they're given land.
Yeah.
They have no special powers of government. They should be given a government. Like, they live in a town, so they should have the, they should, obviously, they'll be able to.
A municipal government.
What's that?
It's a municipal
government. I think
some of them do have that.
Well, I mean, they have to have that. When you have a town, there has to be a municipal government. That sort of thing, right?
You know, there's more claims of land if you total all the Indians' land claims together than
far
there is in B.C.
There's far more
somebody's
claims
lying.
Of land than there is land in B.C. And B.C. is
somebody's
fucking huge.
Somebody's
anyway,
lying.
But I think they should get all that. But I do not think they should have special privileges, and I don't think there should be special laws
either
for Indians.
Either
however,
your...
the one thing I support them in is that there are not that many Indians. And if they just became another group in our society, they would disappear.
They make 12% of the Canadian population, according to the CIA factbook from 12%? The net.
12%?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's actually.
I didn't even know that.
That's actually a lot more than I thought it was.
However, those, it's already been proven that the Canadian Census Bureau has been incorrect how many times?
From the CIA factbook.
Oh, the CIA fact book. That's a wild source. Thanks for coming out there, Vortex. Because, you know, the CIA wouldn't lie or falsify information now, would they? Would they? No, no, no.
Okay, but anyways.
They're so themselves. Accurate. They predicted the Soviet Empire would fall about, now?
Anyways, their society, their culture would disappear because it is so varied. Even if you take them as 12%, each tribe is tiny, and each tribe has different
cultures. I don't think we really need to argue the validity of basically land claims or things like that.
We do. We do. But we're not going to
go into anymore. Let's put this in another
context. Hey, this is Bree.
Hi.
There, it wasn't, yeah.
if okay, Drex.
Woohoo!
If my dad and your dad were neighbors,
yep.
And my dad borrowed something from you, came over and took your car,
mm-hmm.
borrowed it, and he kept it over in his, took care of it, you know, la la. Well, you then one day you come back and say, hey, that's my car, I want it back, and he says, no, thank you. What do you do?
Well, I kick the shit out of him and take my car back, and there's a huge difference because, well, I'm still alive and it was my car.
Okay, but what
and
happens?
It's not my great grandfather's.
What
car.
Happens if you then you
and,
can't get it back?
And
from
a whole bunch of people aren't relying on my car to get them to and from work. And live in my car, and all like vast numbers of immigrants haven't moved into my car from other countries and are living there and using my car.
It's a Cadillac, like a really big Cadillac.
And like I said, I'm not alive, right? See, it's not my great great grandfather's car.
No,
I'm demanding it back.
If I was,
I'd be stupid for. Well, this isn't.
If you couldn't get it back, you would then tell your kids that the car that your neighbor had
was taken from you however many years ago.
No,
and
I
you've
wouldn't
been
because
trying to
that
get
would be whining.
What color was the car?
But the car is much bigger than it was when I had it.
The other
hypocrisy. I'm really old, and the story
the other hypocrisy
vastly,
is what happens. What happens?
Just like when your father tells you the stories about the 8 feet of snow he had to walk
under Canadian law.
Both ways in 8 feet of snow.
Under Canadian law, what happens to property that is taken from someone when they find out whose it belongs to? They return it to them. The person who bought it. Fair hands.
Yeah, but we're not talking about law. We're not talking about law here.
This is Canadian law.
Yes,
that
that's what we're talking about. We're talking about what the way should be, the way things should be. And I know if that wasn't the case, if that wasn't the case, the way that Canadian law worked, they wouldn't have any argument in the courts. Obviously, Canadian law supports them, or we wouldn't have. Yeah, otherwise we wouldn't have this argument. Because we wouldn't even be hearing about it because they wouldn't have a case.
Do you know why in both Canadian and United States whaling was allowed by the federal governments for these native bands?
Appeasement?
Exactly. 100%. The issues were on, one, tradition as opposed to self-government in the United States. That was the argument. The traditional appeasement, traditional allowances made on their cultural traditions was what was given to them as opposed to a self-government. In Canada, it was based over a land claims deal in the Northwest Territories where I believe the band of Inuit, which just recently took a whale last year, like I said, that once again our fine American media pretty much ignored, as opposed to the hubbub this one has occurred.
In America, so who cares? It was up north. Nobody sees it.
But no, the Canadian media ignored the story as well, beyond a certain point.
They would have had to driven really far to get there, man. Like, Inuit? Those are like Eskimos, for people who don't know, right?
You're making a joke, which I can understand, because we do that a lot. But
also, they would have had to indulge in something they haven't done in at least 30 years, you know. Actual active investigative journalism?
Show some media and journalistic integrity?
Okay. No, these words are completely oxymoron. Integrity and media.
True.
We accept it that basically the only thing that the media really feeds us is a bunch of fucking sound bites, and we simply accept it. Nobody complains.
Stop listening.
Nobody bitches. Nobody whines. Nobody makes any big things. Do you know what the biggest story last couple of years back when the Rwandan massacre was going on, where a million people, actually I'm overstating it, I'm sorry, 800,000 people were massacred within 100 days. Do you know what the big story was? It was Whitewater. And the end of the was it the O.J. Simpson or was it
okay? Well, I just wanted to clarify because I'm not sure, and I'm not sure if our listeners are aware. Are you complaining? Are you comparing the Canadian and the American media, or are you just complaining about the
media in general? World media completely ignored the story in favor of top stories that were complete and utter fucking fluff.
Okay, well, what does that have to do with them ignoring the whaling story up north? I'm just curious.
Well, basically, it's just an indicative. It's another symptom of the disease, which is that our own media in Canada completely ignores something that should have created the same level of fervor that this did, but because it was, you know, way back up north.
That is a big difference.
And
what happened in Washington is right in front of people's faces.
Yeah,
right.
So what you're saying is you have to slap somebody in the face with a dead flounder before they fucking get a hold of any ideas?
Much more obvious, much more.
It's the old nut in my backyard syndrome. You can do whatever the fuck you want, just as long as it's not in my backyard.
And let's all realize, too, that Canadians don't get, as a rule, as hyperactive about issues as the Americans do. We're far too laid back about that type of stuff.
Another word for it would be dead.
Hey, I'm not dead. If you want to see me frothing,
I do have to make a statement. When I say Canadians being dead about things,
I used to be apathetic, but I just don't care anymore.
when I say that Canadians completely ignore issues and are dead, I should say I do have to exclude most of my friends, which I have to say, beyond any people I've ever known, the group that I currently know care more about issues than, hell, any people I've ever lived with or, like I said, known, ever.
Tweet, do you anything about it, though?
It's time for a break, and we'll come back with Star Wars.
Oh, God, please. No.
Yes, Star Wars.
I'm just one more thing. Well, we're not going to be.
Well,
it
still can. It's a good one.
Yeah, I have a piece of. Well, I didn't actually. And then.
But then you
Alan
can say,
has money too. Alan has money too.
I have,
Alan has
I,
money too.
Three?
Did you see Star Wars?
Awesome. Okay.
He don't need
wow. That's
machine.
Awesome. That's really
he'll
good.
Grow back
you'll have an
when he needs to drive a cop, he takes the big bill from the cop.
Back on what is it? What the hell? Okay, first I think we should get the female point of view so we don't taint it. This is a person. No, because we'll say stuff and then she'll think about it and stuff. She has not seen the first three original ones.
No,
episode
the,
4,
the
5,
first,
and 6.
Okay, the second
whatever
three,
4, 5,
whatever,
and 6.
4, 5, and 6. The first okay. three Star Wars movies produced.
Yes. This is Bree's review of The Phantom Menace.
It's up to you. Go for it, Bree.
I was not very impressed with the movie at all. I thought it kind of delivered too much towards children. If I had to listen to that dinosaur say, how rude, one more time,
how
I
rude.
Thought I was just going to leave the theater. It was a good movie. It might have been better if I'd seen the first one so that I had something to say that it was so improved. But the movie itself was not as much as the hype should have made it.
Okay.
Good.
Now we get Drexel's version of it.
Dun dun dun. Or
but before you start, can I just make an insight? It's not an opinion so much as just what Bree said about the fact that she had not seen the first three. Maybe she would have enjoyed it more. One will point out that that's not necessarily true, but it is true. Had she seen the other three, certain references and certain
would've
characters
she
developed would have made more sense to her.
I don't think you would have enjoyed it. Any more or less.
I think
okay.
I would have enjoyed it more. It wasn't the characters
well, actually,
that bothered
no
me. It
idea.
Wasn't the storyline that bothered me. It was just, it was pretty much, from what I've heard, it was pretty much the same story, you know, with just the graphics changed and the computer imaging changed and everything like that. So I think that would have made it so much better to me just to see it with so much more effect than the first time that it happened.
But, okay, okay. We have...
I'm not allowed to give this to the chicken yet, or Dax. Okay, this is Drex's...
Alright, so we have Star Wars, the first three movies. Almost everybody's seen them. I mean, they're pretty famous. You haven't seen them, but like I said, before, you're a girl, so what do you want?
You can rebut that. You don't
I'm just joking.
I don't
Come
even
on.
Know what to say to a comment like that.
Like you were saying, they do have the book now.
Oh. Oh.
Okay, okay, Kate. Okay.
Not for that.
It's a perfectly acceptable rebuttal to smack him in the head.
That's why he's got the helmet on, though.
Okay, this movie, when I sat down, despite all the hype, I didn't really have that much...
Exposure?
I didn't have that much exposure because I tried to isolate myself as much as I could from this movie. And believe it or not, I turned off the radio, I plugged my ears, closed my eyes, and hummed when I heard anything about it. That sort of thing. All right? The other thing was, I was not expecting to see this movie when I saw it. So I didn't have the buildup of, oh my God, I'm going to go see Star Wars, I'm peeing my pants. We got tickets, which sort of sucked all the excitement out of it, because I was like, wow, I wasn't expecting tickets, and now we're seeing the movie. So
opening night, 9:10 p.m. opening night.
Yeah.
And we got tickets at noon the day.
Opening night, yeah.
So it was like, huh?
I got woken up at 2 o'clock in the morning and told, we're going to go see the 3 a.m. show.
That's pretty cool.
That's fine. I would have done that if that's what it took.
Somebody woke me up, I went, okay. Sure, I'm going.
Okay, so we get into the movie, and the really shitty part is, okay, the very first part was great. I was into
dun,
it.
Dun, 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 Star Wars.
The lightsaber through the door, and we're creaming
nice
our shorts.
Spoiler.
All right.
Okay, we're there's going to be
the whole movie.
There's going to be massive.
If you haven't seen the movie, turn off. I don't want to scare anyone away, but I'm telling you what happens in the movie.
This will be
so,
massive spoilers.
So turn off the.
Turn
off
down for a while
and pop back in 10 minutes. Which should give you plenty of time to get rid of me, because the chicken's giving me an
he
evil
He speaks
look,
fast and talks
chicken.
Loud.
All right, so they stick the lightsaber into the door, and we're all creaming our shorts, right? First of all, we all love lightsabers, and now it's cutting a door in half.
What more glass door? They used to bounce off things. They never.
No. See, he put it in. He put it
straight.
In. Yeah, he stabbed it in. Right, and yeah. it bounced off. Sure, if you take a really sharp sword and hammer it off a piece of wood or whatever, it
it's
might
gonna
bounce.
Go
off.
So in Jedi, when Vader would duck and Luke would go like this, it'd be like a straight slice.
It would bounce
like,
off.
It would bounce off. Yeah, always.
But
never
the
count.
Thing is,
all right, you're getting you guys. You guys.
Yeah, he pushed
you guys
through.
Are just yeah. He pushed through. He put steady pressure on
right.
it.
Oh, no,
okay,
I'm not
and you guys are picking on like stupid little things that really don't matter.
No, I just thought it was cool that.
Anyway, so we're all cramming our shorts about the lightsaber. Then, it started to go down. I actually had myself sitting in the theater going, in my head, I can't believe it. The new Star Wars movie sucks. This movie sucks.
No, can't say.
Okay? Now, I was still, another part of my head was going, no, it doesn't suck. It's Star Wars. It's awesome.
You must kill the infidel!
And it must be said that there was absolutely amazing things constantly happening in the movie. Like, amazing cinematography, great top shots of just big, wide-open shots with tons
amazing
of shit
Amazing graphics.
On. Oh, it's special effects. Amazing. This is fantastic.
Yeah, there's always a bigger fish.
Okay. Yeah. But
well, I have a comment about
the,
that.
What was the stupid guy? What is it annoying?
Jar Jar Binks.
Jar Jar Binks. Okay. I found him very annoying. The thing I found annoying about him was the stupid accent that his race had. It was just
Jamaican.
Yeah, okay. Well, what happened to in the old Star Wars movies where we had some weird alien language you can't understand and subtitles? Thank you.
That kicked
when
ass.
When they went into Tatooine, they were talking to the guys there and they had their Tatooine language, right?
Yeah.
And there was subtitles. It was awesome. It was great, right? Did you need more than that? Did you need to have some weird accent speaking at you? No. And the
languages just in themselves were just awful. I mean, okay, the kind of stupid little race was, like you said, the Jamaicans.
Yeah.
The bad guys.
Did we not have the Oriental voice. But that is not the Star Wars way. I don't know why they went that way.
And what was the flying guy's accent? I didn't really pick it out.
Oh, yeah. That was okay because he had an accent.
He was an Arab merchant in any quarter you want to go to.
Anyways, but he had an accent, whereas the other guys were speaking their language, only it was English. There's a difference, right?
Yeah. Can I explain that?
You can later.
I'll give you a real quick rebuttal why they did that. Because who is going to like that character? Who is that character
okay,
in the movie for?
I understand
for?
They made Children. The movie for kids. Yeah. I understand. I don't mean to cut you off, but he said that. Yeah, the movie's for kids.
If Jar Jar didn't speak English,
the kids wouldn't care.
The kids wouldn't care.
If there were subtitles, the kids couldn't get it. The character was there just for children.
Okay.
They made the movie with somewhat in children in mind. Return of the Jedi, they had subtitles. Thank you. The really fun for the children.
What did the Ewoks say? It wasn't English.
It wasn't English.
None of it.
They had subtitles.
Yub nub.
That's right.
That's all they said.
They could have done it. Okay, but anyways, I understand what you're saying, and it's a valid point.
Yep.
But it's just annoying, right? So that's my point, is that it's annoying. I understand why they did it. They had a purpose. Everything has a purpose. Okay. The annoying accents, okay. But the main problem with the movie was I was sitting in the movie getting the feeling. You know when you watch a movie, when Star Wars, and suspension of disbelief?
Yeah.
There's no question. You just believe it. I did not believe it. There were many scenes where I sat there going, they're not really there. Darth Maul, he's not really in the desert. I didn't get the feeling he was actually in the desert. And I couldn't figure it out for a while. I just sat there confused, trying to figure out what was going on the screen. And after the movie, it's screenshots. It was in the desert, yes. It was.
The swimming scene was not very well done.
What's
all.
That?
The swimming scene when they were going
the
down.
The swimming scene was bad, yeah.
Yeah.
I would have let that go because it was such a small part of the movie. But it was repetitive like that. You just didn't get the feeling that you were actually there. Like, you always got that in the first three movies.
Yeah.
There was no question. But what it came down to was screenshots. They zoomed in. They had close-ups. Far too many close-ups. In the first three movies, they would have a big pan back shot where you got
a picture of where they were and their surroundings, a great picture of it, and then it would zoom in on them, and that's great. But in this movie, their panned back pictures weren't panned back far enough to give you the feeling that they were really there. And that was it. We saw it the second time. Jar Jar Binks did not annoy me the second time.
We could understand everything he was saying. Though.
We can, but
the second time
he just didn't annoy me. I accepted the fact that he was an annoying character in the movie, and it just was not. It did not affect me the second time.
We're gonna make our own after and and dub over Jar Jar.
Okay,
and make subtitles for him.
And I had a feeling that when they were on the spaceship at the beginning, I didn't get the feeling that they were there. When I watched it the second time, I paid particular attention to the special effects. I had the feeling that perhaps the characters and the CGI just didn't mix very well.
I found
that wasn't the case.
I found everything was too sterile. There was no things sitting around. You go into a room, it was empty, except for the characters. Always.
Yeah,
nothing.
Also,
nothing was sitting around.
This up with me, but everything in the first three movies, or four, five, and six, just because I'm
being
anal about it, it was not only was it models, but everything was dirty. Like,
and used.
Yeah,
everything
it
was
looked,
well.
It was real, and
X-wings
around, like,
were beat to shit. Like,
yeah, and
the X wings were old fighters. Y wings were old fighters. Okay, I just want to get through my criticism of the movie before we get. This is the general discussion. I want to do this after, okay? Because otherwise, I'm going to lose strain, and it's going to take me forever. Okay, it was almost entirely the second time we saw the movie. It was almost entirely screenshots. It was when you watch a movie and it seems small. Do you know what I'm talking about? I used to have this feeling like The Mask with Jim Carrey. It was small. Everything was close-ups. You didn't get any picture of the area. You didn't get the feeling
it was
really there.
His face again.
That's right. Okay, the exception to this, and also the other thing was they would have shots up. All right, you have a character standing on something, and there would be a shot up. All you see is him and, like, the ceiling or the sky. And it's just not very impressive. You don't get that feeling that they're really there. It happened many times, and that was also had to do with it. The one exception
was the pod race. Holy shit, could they not possibly have done that better? That was the coolest thing in any movie I've ever seen.
Ben-Hur 1999.
Ben-Hur 1999.
I was saying when I was in the theater, I was making a joke. Shouldn't the estate of Cecil B. DeMille be suing right about now?
Okay, anyways. So the pod race was great. All the shots were wicked. The other thing was the boy. I wanted to kill him. I wanted him dead. Not in the pod race. In the pod race, he just shut up. He flew the pod. Why? Because he's the guy, the force is guiding him. Whatever your excuse. He just did it. He didn't sit there chatting away, how do I kill the bad guys? Is this the button? No, that's not the button. Is this the button? No, that's not it either. Oh, here it is. The trigger, which, you know, everyone knows. It's on the joystick. But whatever. They talked to you like you were an idiot. They didn't do that in the other movies. And if they did, it was not to this degree. They would explain things. Okay. When he's in the fighter, however, he just natters and natters and natters. They could have done that the same way they did in the pod race. Just have him know how to fly the fighter. Correct? Like, sure. If he had just done that and shut up, like genius little kids are supposed to be quiet and smart, yep. Not noisy and ignorant.
He said he's always wanted to be a starfighter. Why couldn't he have studied the manuals, looked at the controls?
He said he'd been flying his entire life. Regardless.
He knew how to fly a pod pretty damn good.
One more point.
Yeah.
The lightsaber duel was kick-ass, apart from screenshots, like I said, which made it a little claustrophobic. The lightsaber duel was totally awesome, totally brutal. It just
they
kicked
killed
ass.
Off the best character.
Yeah, they killed off the best character, but it was kind of cool that they killed off the best character, because yeah. I had no idea that was going to happen. I was certain he was going to be in more of the movies. Because I isolated myself and didn't know. All right?
The best character and the best potential character that they never developed.
Okay, but, you know, there's always the Clone Wars. Okay, now, the pit.
Damn it, you just spoiled the Clone Wars.
Anyways, the pit, all right? At the end, they have the pit. It goes on forever! But it doesn't look like it goes on forever. It was the poorest thing in the movie. You look into the pit and you go, wow, is this like a bad television show? And this stuck with me in both times I watched it. Yeah. But I can let that go, too, because the lightsaber duel, apart from that, totally slayed. It kicked ass. Anyways, if you watch the movie twice,
it's better.
It's much better. A lot of the little things that drove me nuts the first time, I just accepted. And the story was fine. I still give it 2 thumbs up, despite all the complaining.
How about Anakin blowing up the base? Anakin blowing up the base.
Yes, that bothered me that he accidentally blew up the base.
Before we pick the entire film apart, I have one thing to say that I think can answer everybody's questions on why they did everything this way. Okay, as an audience, we no longer, I mean our age group, no longer really matters to Lucas. I saw that film twice. I went and saw it once with all of you guys, my friends, and I saw it the second time with my two nephews, age 6 and age 8. And I kind of watched them when I was watching the movie. And I was reminded of something else. Has anybody here ever seen the Teletubbies? Okay, screams aside. Now, how are the Teletubbies made? Their bright primary colors, their motions, before anything happens, they kind of jump up and go, hey, something's about to happen. And that was exactly how this entire movie moved. It was designed for children. It was designed to capture a whole new generation of kids to basically go fall for Star Wars exactly as we did.
So they will buy it for the next couple of movies, and when they're in, and that way that ensures also when they are out of the prime demographic that they will still spend the money.
Yes, but one point on that topic is that the first three movies grabbed all of those same children. Yeah. It grabbed all of them, and they did it the old way.
Yeah, I know they did it the old way, but you see, times are changing. The way they handle things is they now handle it by demographics, and they no longer care.
My point is that the little kids that he made it for now would have watched it anyways. They would have loved it.
Yeah, no, they would have. They would have had. But if it had been a fourth episode that had gone only for an advancement of story, the kids would have gone for it somewhat because of the special effects. But you would not have the fanaticism
that you basically...
The fanaticism was there before they saw the movie.
Yeah, not for all kids. I mean, for some kids it was...
What was the marketing for the Jar Jar Binks dolls and...
Exactly. No.
They did not have to get rid of Jar Jar Binks. He was not that bad. He's annoying. He's a little annoying, but that's just his voice.
No, I understand that. I'm just saying that basically all of the things that you saw, all the criticisms you have.
No, my main criticism is the cinematography.
Yes.
That is my main criticism of the movie, and...
It's the exact thing I'm saying.
The same thing.
How is it? Is the same thing.
All okay. I'm talking about panning out
yes.
a bit more.
Yes, but it wasn't... done for you. The film.
Are you trying to tell me that a little child will not like the movie because it was panned out too much?
No, I'm not saying that. But basically,
what I'm saying is that rather than isolate, if I gave you the choice of having a really really fast car that could hold lots of people and was really good on gas, or a really slow car that could hold lots of people and was good on gas, which would you choose? You choose the car that was really fast. Good on gas and hold lots of people. Why? Because it does it all.
But you see, the thing is, one, they don't think they can do it all. And two, the very simple point is, they don't care. Whenever they had parts of the movie that had the story, that was just advancing the story, my nephews started to basically get bored and started to fidget. Whenever they went back to the big panorama that you basically don't like, or the big kind of that part of
the he likes the big
panorama. No, okay, you're talking about the closed in, the tight shots.
The,
yeah.
The problem with the little children is they can't take in that huge shot.
No, they don't.
Have to be huge. We're talking about instead of cutting the guy's head off at the top, let his whole head in there.
Yeah.
Pan out a little bit more. You can still clearly see the
compromise. A compromise in between the two.
You don't have to compromise. The scene is just as good for little kids. They would like it as much more.
You gotta consider the length of the movie. That would have added a whole other...
No, they had those scenes. My point is they had all of those scenes in the movie. They just weren't big enough.
I agree with you.
Agree. No, you're not understanding what I'm saying. They had the scene. The scene was in the movie. We saw the scene. Instead of having... They had a pan-out shot. It just wasn't panned out far enough.
This sucks.
That's right. We need to pan out more.
Okay.
We can't.
We don't... are people going to believe we're really there?
No.
Anyways, go on.
No, it's basically... I agree with you. I do agree with you. Yes, they could have done that. Yes, they should have done that. The reason, however, like I say, that I think they didn't is because they literally were more concerned about basically capturing... the 7- and 8-year-olds and the 10-year-olds than they were, and keeping them, they were about us.
I don't think that's the reason.
A little kid still doesn't understand the things like feeling into the movie because they have a bigger shot. A little kid thinks, ooh, close is good. A little kid thinks, if I can see this right up close, then that means that something's happening right now.
Shiny.
A little kid isn't going to think... that.
I don't think that either. It took me twice watching them. I had to watch the whole movie. And I think about this stuff, and I still took me the whole movie to figure out why it was claustrophobic.
And you don't think about it. A little kid doesn't feel claustrophobic.
It's just natural.
A little kid will not feel claustrophobic.
Okay, but they did.
Like
they did the pod. They did the pod race.
Seeing scenery. A little kid will feel bored. I'd
have to show you guys and explain to you because it's not scenery. The scenery was fine. They had lots of big scenery shots.
You're talking about the depth of the picture.
I'm talking merely. It's just shots that could have been different.
During
okay,
the lightsaber.
Right here, I'm standing in front of Dak. I take 4 or 5 steps back. I can still fully see him. It's just I can see his surroundings more, too.
Feel like he's actually there.
The child will still fully see him. They will.
A child's mind doesn't work that way. Yes.
Why did the children like the pod race? They did the pod race.
Because it was fast.
The pod race was fast. The pod race was action. The pod race was something constantly
happening.
So was
the whole rest of the movie. So was the lightsaber duel. Fast.
Still
and
it,
if they had done the lightsaber duel the way they did the pod race, it would have been perfect.
Yes, Drex, I agree with you.
I don't think you understand my...
Okay, I don't understand.
Okay, your 10 minutes is up.
Thank God. However, as for the retaliation for the one person I know who wholeheartedly, unreservedly loved Star Wars The Phantom Menace, I'm going to...
I loved the movie, too.
Unreservedly.
That's what was going through my head.
Unreservedly loved The Phantom Menace. I'm going to hand over the chicken after I have one more comment to say. I have one question. What is it with Lucas and midgets? What is it with Lucas and midgets? Does anyone know?
Yeah,
I've had two. I have.
Can't have a flying midget.
I have.
Those wings were not big enough to carry him around.
I have two theories. I have.
Are you going to argue physics in a Star Wars movie?
I have two theories as to why.
Good point.
Why Lucas uses midgets? One is the sicker one that he's queer for midgets. And two,
does he see that movie?
Two, somebody mentioned this to me, and this is a great idea, that there was one midget working in the original movie, and that was, what's his name that played? Kenny Baker, who had played R2-D2. And my friend came up with the idea that perhaps Kenny got some compromising photos of Lucas on the set of the first film. And since that time, he's made sure that there's been work from midgets somewhere in Hollywood. So I'm going to have to say it's one of those two answers. But now for the unreserved...
Lucas was responsible for Willow, too.
That's exactly it. We were talking about this. Other than American Graffiti, every movie that Lucas has ever done, it has midgets in it, including THX 1138.
And now for your listening,
yes,
enjoy
there was those little barbarian midgets at the very end. Here we go. Here's the chicken.
I'm actually going to disappoint everybody here and not vehemently defend the movie because I don't have that much time in my life. And I've shared my arguments with everybody in this room pretty much anyways, and I don't want to rehash it because, well, it'll be long and drawn out and nothing will be resolved. But I thought it was phenomenal. I had a shit-eating grin on my face for 2 hours. For 2 hours and 27 minutes, I was in ecstasy. It was perfect. After 15 years, I thought it was more than what I expected out of it. I'll see it 5 or 6 times in theaters again. However, the one bone to pick that I've got with everybody's statement is the fact that it pandered too much to little kids. Desmond, you defended my point beautifully when you said when there wasn't the action shots and they moved on to the story, your little nephews got bored. Okay? They were too young to comprehend the story. The story was not aimed at that target audience because of story development. If it was, they would have been transfixed on the entire thing.
8-year-olds don't understand trade tariffs.
Lucas said
himself that this movie was made for 12-year-olds.
Our only hope is, of course, the next one's made for 15-year-olds when it comes out 3 years from now.
That's the idea. That's what they're doing.
And the next one's for 18-year-olds after that, which will come out in 2006.
No,
isn't that the plan?
If it keeps going at that development, we may actually see sex in the sixth movie.
Oh. It was alluded to.
We've already done the sixth movie.
Not a new one.
Wait, no, we haven't played the poem.
Oh. One thing I was very impressed with on that movie was the lack of just complete and utter useless blood and gore. And they managed to get in all of the fight scenes that they needed. They managed to kill off characters. And they didn't just have to go for six-year-olds who like to see a whole bunch of blood. They managed to do it without it.
Well, that's
just as effectively.
Lucas,
okay, when you have...
cauterize the wound as they go through.
When you have violence without gore, you're promoting violence.
Yes.
Because when people see violence and they see no gore, they think violence is heroic and peaceful and wonderful.
The six-year-olds that this movie is aimed towards know that the
they're
blood
starting,
is fake.
They're starting to get it. No, yeah, it doesn't matter. When you go see Saving Private Ryan and you see what happens to people in war, you no longer
Saving
think it's
Private
heroic.
Saving Private Ryan is a far cry from the Star Wars movie.
Yeah, I know,
far,
but my point
cry.
Is that when you see...
The
when Star Wars was probably the first movie...
Nothing about this movie would ever hit home. People dying or otherwise.
Well, no, this is very... This hits your psyche right when you're a little kid and goes... War is valiant. It's wonderful. when you're fighting for a good cause, it's worth dying for. And it's not even painful. You just get cut in half and fall down a big hole and die.
I totally have got to disagree with that, Darcy, because Star Wars, the entire premise, I mean, it's nothing original. It's a big space opera, okay? It is classic.
Exactly.
It's classic space fantasy, good versus evil. Sir Lancelot, you know, when the heroes vanquish the dragons, there is no great big arterial spurting and heads cutting off and wearing it on a pike.
Before I give the mic away, I don't think that there should be blood and gore in Star Wars. It was just that
what she said,
not that it applies to Star Wars, but just in general, violence
like
without gore is bad.
Wouldn't be the same. Like your example of Saving Private Ryan, would not have worked without the blood. Would not have worked. I would not even watch the movie if it didn't have the realism.
On the Bulbasaur arm had a bit of blood.
Some movies just do not need the realism like that. I was very, very impressed with the fact that they managed to get around that just as effectively.
So I have a thought. Where did Palpatine find Darth Maul? Is there like a race that look like that?
Yeah, the Sith.
Yeah, there had a guy in the crowd that almost looked like
him. We'll never find out because West End Games has gone bankrupt and they'll never release any source information about Darth Maul's race ever again. Okay?
Wow. So, why have they gone bankrupt?
About a year ago.
Why? Because nobody plays Star Wars.
No, it's because Star Wars, their flagship game, was awesome. Then they went, oh, let's take all our little bit of money, we won't reserve it for the new movie we know we're coming out and have an awesome established audience and rapport with ILM and LucasArts. No, no, we'll fuck it up and we'll make a Xena game.
Paranoia and Chill were good by West End Games.
Are we talking...
They went bankrupt? We're talking about role-playing game. West End went bankrupt on Xena?
Well, their company went under, but let's take... Xena, do you think it's really going to hold up and hit, you know, the masses like Star Wars has?
No, it isn't. Not for a role-playing game, but have you actually have any idea about how big in the States the Hercules and Xena program is? And
look at the audience of the Xena crowd, though. It's older than the Star Wars crowd. Kids like rolling dice, playing games, Star Wars fast action. People aren't going to be, like, throwing around chakras and, like, you know, reenacting the lesbian universe scene or the tub scene with Gabriel. I mean, that's...
The only people in the Xena and Hercules universe,
I have to agree with you on that argument.
Hercules and Gabriel, that's it. Everyone else is victim.
Time for a break, and then we're coming back.
It's time for a break, and then we're coming back with pizza stories, pizza delivery stories. We've got two of them.
Goes down easier than your mom.
Okay, we got a call. Okay.
Hi, you're on Rant Radio. Who is this?
This is Eric.
Eric, awesome. Where are you phoning from?
I'm from San Francisco. Where are you?
We are in British Columbia, Canada, so we're in the same time zone, near Vancouver.
Okay.
Near Vancouver. We're in Rant Radio. So, what's up?
Have you guys heard this? Yeah, I'm really disgusted with the state of poetry in the nation today.
You're really disgusted with the state of what in...
Poetry in the nation.
Poetry. Oh, do you have some poetry for us?
I'll tell you what happened.
Okay.
I'm just pissed off about this. I went to work Friday, and we have a beer party every Friday in the afternoon, and there was a beatnik theme thing, and so we had this deal, and there was a poetry competition, and I read my poem, and it was not received very well, and I'm really disgusted by this, and I just got to vent a little bit about that.
No, don't just vent. We want to hear the poem.
I will show you the damn poem. Man, you go. You'll hear the damn poem, all
right? Right. You need to know the content here, Eric. Lay it on us, man.
Yeah, we want to know. Like, it
was... Okay.
Okay.
Hey, the poem is called Right Wing Crackdownocracy, which is the form of government we have in this country today.
Damn straight.
A black trench coat. Are you a guy who likes men? Did you come here on a boat? Are you heavy into Zen? Crack down! Bite fire to Old Glory? Maybe you're a deadbeat dad. Don't believe the Genesis story? Do you think Jerry Falwell's mad? Crack down! Pot smokers, idolaters, jaywalkers, and double parkers. Environmentalists. Nudists prancing around stalkers. Crack down! Yeah. I'm tough on crime. I'll build more prisons. Shoot those baby killers, for Christ has risen, baby.
Yeah.
You're the
I hear it all, and soon you will see. When all the deviants are gone, I'll crack down on me.
Right.
Now, these Philistines where I work, they did not appreciate that, and I got the booby prize, which was a bucket of red vines.
What the hell? Sunday night at 9.
Oh, you're a psycho Christian.
That was Eric from San Francisco.
Hey, we're back on. Right?
We're back on.
We're back on. Yes. Hi. So I think we're going to just leave the Star Wars conversation
in a galaxy
far, far away in a long, long time ago.
And I really do give it 2 thumbs up, though.
No, I do too. Like I said,
You just said.
Yep, that's true. That's true. Sorry, no more Star Wars. Okay, so
I don't want I don't want to leave people thinking that I don't think they should see the movie. I've seen it twice. And I'm going back, probably with Ryan and Dak, so that we can enjoy it and become friends again. Because there's this tribe. We're all looking at each other like they're the enemy. Because we're all actually disagreeing. There's this three-way disagreement. It was an awesome movie.
And we're all armed.
And we can all agree that the pod races was good.
Next. Okay, so what we were going to do, we were going to do pizza delivery stories. So I guess we'll start this one off with Shade. Will Shade start this one off?
They're like his. No. Okay. I used to deliver pizza for a long time, way too long, for way too many different places. But this is not
for Pizza 222.
Nah. No, the one place I have not worked for. Anyhow. Oh, hold on. Excuse me.
Thank you.
You are a Canadian.
Hello,
radio.
This didn't happen to me. This was relayed to me by Trevor Shields, the editor of Disinformation. It happened to one of his friends.
Plug.
No, shameless plug. Right. The website for Disinformation is www.disinfo.org. Anyway, what happened, this took place in sort of a rural area of Langley, which we're based out of, and when we say rural, we mean really, really rural, like basically like...
Farmland.
Yeah, farmland, and the kind of places where the property is, I don't know, maybe half a kilometer back from like the actual road, so that, like the house, so you have like long driveways and barns and stuff like that. Well, gentleman in one of these very places ordered himself some pizza from Panagopoulos. We'll actually use the name here. And leave my pager alone. And
let's play hide the pager.
Anyhow, the gentleman ordered the pizza, and he was told he'd be about 40-45 minutes. So the guy waits, and he waits a little while, and he's looking out his window, checking for the guy, because, like I said, the house is a far ways back from the property. He's got to sort of alert the guy, like, flash the lights and stuff. So he sees a guy sort of pull forward, turn around, pull by, back up, and he's flashing the lights at him. Well, instead of going to where the flashing lights are, apparently he doesn't see it. He instead focuses his attention on a driveway that ends halfway into a field. And once into that field, there's a barn, there is an old horse barn and like a shack with the windows blown out of it. So he goes up there instead. He drives up. He gets out. He knocks on the door of this shack, which the windows are blown out of and no electricity. He knocks and he knocks and nobody answers. So he walks a little farther up to the horse barn, looks around, and still doesn't find anybody. So he gets back in his car, and this guy's... Meanwhile, the customer stopped flashing his lights by this time because he's having just a great old time, like watching this guy. And the guy goes,
"Oh, phone call." We're gonna break with phone call.
It's just somebody downstairs.
Oh, never mind.
Hello.
Not important. Okay. Anyhow. So meanwhile, the driver gets back into his car, pizza in hand, rumbles off into the sunset, like farther into the field, like and he's in like a little Nissan Sentra, and like this is pretty rough going, like there's no road here anymore. He is like in the pasture kind of thing. So he's just watching the guy, and all of a sudden his lights just disappear from view as he goes, I guess, a couple of acres farther than is visible from this guy's from the customer's house. So the customer's like, okay. He waits about 15 or 20 minutes, and all of a sudden he sees headlights again. Coming back the other way. And so he starts flashing his lights again, the house lights again, because he kind of wants his pizza now, right? And so I guess the guy finally sees this flashing light. But rather than pull out of the field onto the driveway he was on and then go onto the right driveway to go up to the house, he decides he's going to cut across the field. But unbeknownst to him in the tall grass is several concrete curb-like barriers. So, keep in mind, little Nissan Sentra, and he's like, he turns, headlights coming straight for the house, crack, and he hits it. He hits the barrier. He doesn't move. So common sense would tell you to turn around, come out of the driveway, go up the correct driveway. But no, he backs up, takes a second crack at it.
You have to show no fear against those Savannah barriers.
Yeah. So he backs up again. Oh, I'm breaking the bed. One sec.
Just back up. That's all you have to do.
So he backs up, and then he pulls forward. Bam! Hits it again.
Back.
No, he's still got the pizzas. He backs up even farther and takes this killer run at it. Like,
is this guy a human cartoon character?
He's an East Indian.
Now, that was a racist joke, so let's just leave that one alone.
That's not how I meant it, actually.
No, actually,
his race becomes relevant later in the story.
Oh, okay.
Like not in a racist way. Like, it just does. But he...
Territory.
It does.
Anyway, just go on.
Go on, go on.
Who's Corey? So finally, he backs way the hell up, and he just floors it. And it's just like... And he smacks this barrier and clears it. And he comes down to the other side. This guy, the customer, cannot believe it, right? He's just like this is a true story, and he can't believe it. He's just like, what the hell's going on? But he's laughing, right? Because he figures, well, if this guy wants to bring up the pizza this way, whatever. Well, I guess when he cleared the first one, he noticed the next several barriers and proceeded to navigate around them, which is fine, except that after the last barrier, there's a ditch. So he drove into the ditch. And... having front wheel drive, he was able somehow to back his way out of it. Then he finally got the idea to go around and come to the guy's house. And he gets to the door. He knocks on the door. The customer answers it, and he goes, "Did you order pizza?" Exactly like that, like totally deadpan, like totally like nothing was wrong. And the guy like tipped him like $10 just for sheer entertainment value.
Yeah, entertainment value is the only thing you can do. Oh.
It's actually very similar to something that happened to me while I was driving, but what happened to me was not nearly as long and drawn out. It was simply, it was snowing like you wouldn't believe. It was like 3 years ago. There was like
big snow.
There was a big snow here, and I was delivering
a quarter or two.
No, it was like 2 feet. It was really deep.
Which is not much to anyone who lives
yes.
anywhere else in the
but
world.
We're pampered motherfuckers here.
Yeah,
so.
But Mother Nature is kind to us.
So anyhow, I'm delivering in the snow in a Chevette. And I'm actually doing pretty good under the circumstances. But the address was like something, 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 27th Avenue. I'm like, 27th? I've never delivered to 27th before. Let's consult the map book. So I look in what's supposed to be the most accurate map book for Vancouver. And I'm like, oh, okay. To get to 27th Avenue, I have to go down 28th and then cross 202 because 202 connects 28th to 27th. I'm like, oh, sounds good. So I turn right on 202, and, of course, there's snow everywhere, so I really can't see what's road and what's not. So I turn right, and I'm plowing my way through, and all of a sudden, I just sort of go, and I just sort of slide down into this giant snowbank. So now my car is quite definitely stuck, and as I look over, people are, like, whispering around me, what the hell's going on?
Just keep talking.
Okay, it really throws me
off. We're planning something. Just please keep going.
No problem.
Don't
no problem.
Turn around. You got the knife?
Yeah. So I slide down into the snowbank, and I realize that I'm like totally stuck. Then I run to somebody's house for help to try and like call BCAA. The guy's like, well, what the hell are you doing? You're way out in the middle of the field. What are you talking about? The map says the road goes through. It doesn't, Matt. It ends right where you slid down. You're like in the middle of someone's backyard. I'm like, okay. So I called BCAA. I waited for BCAA to show up. They did. What? Which takes 40 minutes. Pizzas are toast. They're like cold and gone. Like bag or no bag. No. So the first person to arrive on the scene is my boss because I called him too. He takes the now dead pizzas and insists on delivering them anyway. So he takes them and he's gone. No, he leaves me with my car in the snow. So I'm sitting in the snow waiting for BCA. BCA shows up. He pulls up to like the edge of the road, like way the hell back there. So I trudge up to meet him. He says, He says, "That's your current bear?" I go, "Yeah, can we tow it out?" And he's in this, like, this big burly fucking tow truck, right? And he says, "No, no fucking way." What?
BCAA is the same as AAA.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Should mention that to our European friends. It's basically
just, it's just in British Columbia they call it BCAA.
Automobile insurance. Basically, you call them if you've got the insurance. They come with a tow truck to pull you out. Anyway,
don't say no.
Yeah, they're not supposed to say no. That's why you pay your premiums.
Yeah.
But he says no. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, I don't know how you got that far in there, but my truck's gonna get stuck if I try and pull you out of there.
So what are you supposed to do? Wait for thaw?
That's what he said. He said you'll have to wait for spring thaw. He was kidding, right? But he said this real humorous guy. He's like, okay, well, I'll drive you back to your work. So he drove me back, and I spent until 4 a.m. shoveling myself out. Actually, if Psycho's listening, Psycho helped shovel me out because I was living with him at the time. He wasn't too impressed to be dragged out at 2 a.m. But that's my other pizza story I have. There's actually like a pizza story news group that you can go to that has some really killer stuff. Do you have the address handy for that? Or?
Oh, it's called something pizza delivery. Yeah, search for pizza.
Yeah, exactly.
Search
just
for pizza on the news groups.
Just search for pizza on the news group. It's great for a laugh, even if you've never delivered pizza. Even if you want to hear the bad things that happen to the poor fucks that deliver your food.
I only have one story that's worth even mentioning. I have got a few things, but only one story that's really worth mentioning. My brother was delivering pizza. We were working for Pizza 222, and I'll explain the significance of the satanic number 222 sometime in the future, but for right now, let's just go on to say, and just let's forget about that and just let's go on to the story. My brother was the manager and head delivery boy of the franchise. I was the head cook.
Head delivery boy?
Well, whatever you want to call it. No, that just simply means...
Delivery boy.
That just means basically he got most of the runs. Because we were paid by... The delivery boys were paid per delivery.
As is the usual high economic way of...
Yeah, of making your money in these... Yeah. Anyhow, so in order to save money on gas and also to ensure speed... He was riding a motorcycle while delivering these pizzas. He had rigged up a box that he would put the pizzas in. They would stay warm and they wouldn't slide around, provided he didn't take corners too fast. Well, he'd worked out a way. And so anyhow, one day he's driving down delivering a pizza and he feels something clip his bike. He's trying to figure out what it is and doesn't think anything of it. As he's about to go around a corner, he notices something in his rearview mirror kind of over his shoulder. And he turns around, and someone has fired an arrow at him, missed his kidneys by about, half an inch, and stuck into the corner of the box. So here's the box, I can't really show you, and pressed right up against his back. And if you had gone about a half inch further, my brother would not be here, and I'd be telling the story of my late brother.
Casualty of war, man.
That's my only pizza story. Anyway.
Well, I don't really have a pizza story, but I used to work at a lot of video stores. And this couple came in, regulars of mine. And the guy had a Domino's shirt on. And she had a Panagoffel shirt on. And the girl here was, like, really attractive looking, actually, kind of a friend of a friend type of thing. So, not that that makes any fucking point a difference in the story at all. And he's kind of a burly guy. So, I get them their videos. I'm looking at the two of them. I say, isn't there a conflict of interest here? And she starts laughing, and he doesn't get the joke because he's Thrud and he has 3 IQ points. And he thinks because I've got her laughing that I'm hitting on her. So I take 2 steps back away from the counter, reaching into like my rear hip where I keep my steel, and he's like growling at me and stuff like that, and she just kind of goes, "Oh, lighten up," and walks out the door. I'm like, "Wow. You're intense for a pizza guy." Now I know why. You have fucking Indians on the trails and stuff like that. Like, Tauntauns running across. Oh, bad stories.
That dad was a pizza delivery guy.
Was he really?
Yeah, but he can
crack
walnuts with his butt, so he's okay.
There are...
You made good money for that picture.
You are so sick! Okay, For those who see the typical Hollywood situation where, oh, beautiful horny housewife brings the driver in, seduces him, and fucks him on the floor, doesn't happen, okay? But, however, trust me, naked women do happen on the job. They're just really strange, really ugly, or both. The one that happened to me happened in a suburb of Langley, which is Cloverdale.
Yeah.
And that should tell you right there what we're dealing with.
It's not a suburb of Langley. It's a suburb of Surrey. And everybody's heard Surrey jokes.
Yeah. Anyway, it's totally pointless. But I was delivering actually chicken for KFC at the time, and it was Mother's Day, and it was my last delivery of the night, and I delivered it to this place, and there's two cars up on blocks in the yard, right? Like, totally one of those kind of places.
The word you're looking for is white
red
trash.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's not Cloverdale. It's White Trashistan.
Yes.
White Trashistan. Cake and sodomy.
Anyhow, this...
Well, there's no cake.
I knock on the door. Anyway, I knock on the door to this place, and I hear... come in. So, which is weird, right? So
the bell should be going off, like the phone, get an axe, hit the crack.
No, see, the thing is, you guys, something you got to remember about me. I prefer to learn life's lessons as a sucker for punishment. So I open the door, peeked in. There, on the ground, are the most kittens and little puppies I've ever seen in one spot that wasn't like a pet store, okay? They're like, yip, 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 like they're like crawling everywhere. I'm like, okay, dogs, cats. I look up, there she is, like naked from the waist down, but and she's got this like little flimsy house coat on. It's like half open. She's got like gravity bitten tits, like just like
with tits the size of Ethiopia.
The term is tuck-em-ins.
Well, okay, she's. Okay, she's got a couple of those, and her, and of course I'm kind of like speechless as well, like on the because she's not terribly attractive. She's probably in her mid 30s, so she's missing a tooth, like. And she's got one sort of, you know when people don't quite have wonky eyes, but look like one side of their body maybe died for 5 minutes. Like that, but she was shaped pretty normal, other than the tuck-em-ins, right? So, but basically, whenever I assess somebody when I'm looking at them, I start at their head and go down, and I'm like, okay, ugly face, wow, I can see your tits, and then all of a sudden it's like.
I can still see them.
Yes, that too. No, but the kicker, the absolute kicker was. And there's her thing, and what the hell is wrong with that? It was, like, wrong. I don't know how else to explain it. It was like,
don't think I've ever said this before. Don't.
No. I don't know how to describe it. Honestly, like, that's not, like, a saying. Like, it was just wrong.
Was it like 47 or what?
No, we can not go there.
Yeah, exactly.
If you decided she was wrong, then what happened?
Then she goes, pizza for me? Or no, not pizza, chicken for me? And then she looks at her dogs and cats and goes, you shouldn't have. I'm like I shouldn't have. And she's like, no, my little darlings bought me a Mother's Day present. Oh, what'd they get you? The chicken, silly.
Oh, fucking my.
Meanwhile, what's going through my head is.
like 57
exactly. So
Elvis has left the building.
No. So I've got a chicken in the bag, and I start unloading it. She comes down the stairs, and she totally undoes her robe, and she starts talking some gibberish to me, and then talking to her dogs and cats, and I go, $12.95. And she hands me like $15, and she's like, don't worry, I don't need change. I'm like, good. And I just left. And then I went back, and I told my boss, and to this day, there's a special flag that comes up on the computer at KFC anytime that when that address comes up, it comes up naked chicken lady. I'm not kidding. So that's my story.
Okay.
Nolan, I don't think we can top that one, so I think maybe we should just let the subject die. Let it end on that one. End it on
that one. Wait, we have a story from the chicken.
We have a story from the chicken?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's time to tell you about my new buddy in life, Rocky the Junkie.
Oh, Rocky the Junkie!
Rocky the Junkie. There's a moral in the story, too. Friday night, get off work. I'm working like 7 till 4. I got 3 days off. For a part-timer, having a long weekend is like a miracle, right? It just does not happen. So when we've got like the big management shuffle and all the rest of it, things are like totally hectic at work, and all I know is the fact that my schedule has not been changed at the last moment like things normally happen, right? So I'm like, perfect. Nothing can bring me down. My day totally rocked. So my buddy Neil picks me up with one of the other guys that I work with, and we were actually going to go out that night and go drinking and stuff like that. Decided to get an early start. So he says, yeah, we're going to go up to like the Alder Grove Hotel. I'm like, why?
Oh.
I used to live up in Alder Grove in a pretty nice area and all the rest of it, right? This place is, it's seedy.
It's okay? In the same type of neighborhood that my earlier Biltmore story might be
it
considered.
It is a nasty, nasty establishment.
Email from
Chris
there, so to remind me of
Corey. Oh!
I think there was one there with more facial hair, but I never had a chance to really look.
The place is affectionately referred to as Alder Grave.
Yeah.
Alder Hall is
Alder Hole.
Hole.
Anyways.
So
instantly the hairs... The small hairs on the back of my neck go up because I've got short hair. And my barber does a wicked job. But anyways, so I get that weird sort of kind of feeling, right? So, sure enough, we get up there. First thing I do, secure the knife on the lanyard, tuck it into the pocket. I got the quick draw system on the go. Number two, wallet goes firmly in left thigh pocket.
Yeah.
And it's got, like, the finger on it at all time. Walk in there, place reeks of smoke. It's dark. There's crappy music going on. There are scum fucks all over on the pool table. I'm stepping in a wet liquid. I don't know what it is. I've got like steel toe work boots that are especially got like the cool soles so you don't like slide in oil. I'm slipping on the floor. This is not going to be a good time. So, Neil and I go and secure a spot against, like, the back corner rail. I give some bucks to my buddy Shane, and he goes and gets me, like, a Malibu and 7 so I can sort of start unwinding, and it's, like, instantly back against the corner. Look for the escape routes.
Mixed drinks?
Hmm?
You got mixed drinks? Never, ever get anything that is not bottled and closed when it goes into your hand.
Oh, yeah.
Ever.
After the first sip, I found that one out.
She with the lumps.
Yeah, I was like... Ice cubes shouldn't be black.
I didn't think they sold Orbitz anymore.
Well, it was a pretty rough and tumble crowd in there, right? I mean, you've got your total, like, I'm on welfare, I'm a biker, I'm a drug dealer crowd. And then there's me. I weigh 140 pounds on a good day with a soaking wet t-shirt and a radiator strapped on my back. I just got off work with, like, my sort of, I'm slightly higher than blue class worker look, and I've got, like, my short, aggressive military haircut. I'm like, victim arrow! Thinking, you know, this isn't going to be a good way to start off my long weekend by shanking people, okay? Let's see, I saw Jean-Claude Van Damme take a bunch of, or Steven Seagal take a bunch of pool, like, cues and do some damage. Maybe I could, too.
Not.
Yeah, and I'm a Chinese jet pilot. Anyways. So then, I'm sitting there 10 seconds. I don't even have my drink, and I feel this guy tap my shoulder, and I look over, and this guy's got he's got the wife beater t-shirt on. He's got the teal blue, gold gym with the pink writing across the top. He's got this like the Iggy Pop like stretched yellow chicken skin over like the appropriate arms. Like I've got this guy outweighed by 100 pounds. Okay?
With he's got, the radiator.
With, yeah, I gave the radiator to him to make it fair. Okay? And he's got, like, the 1980s spiked hair. He's
yeah.
The fully, full Billy Idol hair. And I'm like... And so it begins. So, Neil and Shane quickly dive onto the pool table. And I'm like, thanks. Here I am, right? Well, the guy introduces himself as Rocky. Rocky. Yeah. Oro. And this guy's been drinking all afternoon. You can tell. You can smell it. And just the way he's leaning at you, looking at with his one good, unfocused eye, right? You know? And he's one of the guys that he's a close talker. He's a close-talking drunk.
Oh, God.
And he's like, every 10 seconds, he's like smacking me in the arm to make sure that I've got his full attention, which I'm not going to take my eyes off this guy because I think I'm going to have to kill him and I need the jump. Okay? So I'm like... So, he asked me what my name is. I'm like, my name's Brian. Right? He goes, oh, that's fucking cool. My son's name's Ryan. You're an all right guy. I've made a friend. if it was that easy to approach a girl and go, hi, my name's Ryan, and have that happen, it would be worth it. But no, I've got scum on the bottom of my shoe, which has evolved just for this chance encounter to communicate with me. I'm speaking with gum, okay? At this point, it becomes entertainment. So I let him go on. And you know you've got your standard drunk talk where people are like, they're going on about, oh, yeah, you know, you just got to roll with things in life and all the rest of it. You know, just got to take it easy and be cool. Well, that's how he starts off, okay? And then he finds out my name. And he's like, okay, I'm his best friend in the world. Because his 15-year-old son's name is Ryan, but he knows I'm not as fucked up as his 15-year-old son. Because his ex, the ex-wife there, feeds his mom, his son, crack and cocaine. He's 15 years old, strung out on cocaine. And it goes off from there.
Oh, no.
Okay, I'm trying to get on the pool table so I can get away from this guy. But his nephew, who's also there with him, wearing, like, the white and black striped shirt with the black vest. Okay? Yeah, you know the ones, okay? It's like... You're here because your trailer park got hit by a tornado, didn't it? Yes, this is true. Thank you, God. Thank you for blessing me twice. So, anyways, Neil took up most of his time by, like, basically sharking this guy. And they were, like, all over playing for money. They wanted to play for, like, $2 to feed their pot habit. And Rocky now is telling me about, you know, how he's, like, does a lot of pot and stuff like that. And, you know,
This man does drugs?
No, his brain is perfectly intact. Honest.
It's well preserved.
Well, then he's like, "Oh, you don't do drugs." I'm like, "No, I don't even smoke." Right? So I'll have a drink socially and stuff like that. Not this total piss that you're feeding me or these people are feeding me, but I'll drink at a real establishment. And he's like, "Oh, that's good because you know, crack. You know, it's like the worst thing you could ever do. It tastes like so bad. You know, I've done it like 4 or 5 times, honestly, Ryan. And you know, I'm being his total confidant now." And
only 4 or 5 times.
Because yeah, exactly. Because no kidding. Because you know, apparently crack tastes like the smell of burning tires. I'm like, and I'm looking at this guy. Yeah, and I'm like, it took you 5 times to figure that out, eh, Rock? Right there, your perceptive powers are amazing. You are sharp as a tack, buddy. And I'm like, you know, that's really good you didn't get into that, Rock, because, you know, that's a horrible monkey to get off your back, right? And I'm just, like, totally going on, like, looking at this guy, and I'm like, oh, wow, thanks, God, right? So, you know, Shane gets me another refill, and, like, the waitress there takes my money. And she goes, and I'm still listening to this guy banter back and forth. I'm looking for my opening to get on the table, and I'm a shitty pool player, but like, I'll do anything to get away from this guy. I'll start table dancing at this point, right? So she comes back, now also to set up like this place. She comes back and can't count back the proper amount of change. She's like, she stops, tilts her head up to the ceiling,
hoping that the
rolls her eyes,
there.
And starts doing the math in her head with the finger gestures for carrying the one. And I'm like, you owe me $14.60. It's pretty easy. Thanks. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, now I'm going to like scrape the moisture off my fingers now. I'm going to fade back into the darkness. Now Rocky's still going on at this point. He's cheering when his nephew there is like beating my friends.
Did you sell the residue on the bill?
No, I didn't actually. It gets better though because I've got a momentum. Wait for it. So I'm sitting there and I'm watching the pool table. And one of the strippers has come out at this point, and I'm like, yeah, no big deal, whatever, right? Because she's not really that fantastic of a dancer. Because that's what all the guys go there to see, the dancing. We respect that.
Yeah, it's the dancing,
right?
It's not the body; it's the dancing.
It is. I mean, it's an art form. So
you'd be 500 pounds as long as you dance.
No, she was actually quite shapely, but I couldn't get Rocky out of my face. So I'm like, you're ruining my weekend, man. Right? So Rocky says, well, where do you live, Ryan? And I'm like, okay, Langley. Mistake number two. Mistake number one was giving him my real name. So I was like, well, you know, I'm getting married soon to this wonderful girl named Karen. Any of you who know me know my rule about chicks named Karen.
Why?
Don't do it.
Okay.
I dated a professional named Karen.
Oh.
Yeah, like the world's oldest professional.
That's what I figured.
By the way, she didn't mention this to you until after you were going out for, what, 2-3 weeks, I think it was?
How about 4 months?
4 months. Oh, 4 months.
And I found out from my 15-year-old cousin who she blabbed it to. But that's a whole other story and chapter in my life. That was the first time I wanted to come out of establishment and scrub myself. This is the second with Rocky. So and he's going on about his this girl and how they fight, and they've got this, you know, they're moving up to this place in 4 days, and it's a subdivided place, and, you know, he's got, like, a really long living room that we can go and, like, you know, shoot, like, you know, play golf in, practically. You can hit the driving range and stuff like that. And then he goes off on a tangent about how he's got, like, this 81 Yamaha motorbike, and it's only about a 180cc, but it hauls, like, about a 450, 500.
Sure.
And his big plan is he's going to sell it. And with the money, the lot of money that he's going to make off of this, he's going to put a down payment on a trailer. This is his goal. And he's going to move into a trailer with this woman. I'm like, man, just do it. Just, you got to live for the moment. Carpe diem, Rock. Go do it. Right?
I'm not going to carpe diem.
Why waste another moment? Do it right now.
Yeah, exactly, right? And I'm just like, I want to see how far this goes at this point. Well, he says, you know, Ryan, you're a really solid guy, and I want you at the wedding. I'm like, hey, that's really good, man. Thanks a lot. He says, yeah, you know, I'll send you, give me your address and your phone number, warning bell, and I'm going to, like, you know, send you off a card with an invitation. You come down and you bring your own booze, and now he's talking, like, real close and serious. He says, we're bonding at this point. Okay? You got to realize these different stages of the relationship. Yeah, yeah. I think it goes capsium to his. So anyways, he's like, you know, yeah, you bring your own booze, and everybody passes around the hat and all the rest of it, and we'll put some money in for the two of us. I'm like, yeah, that's really Irish of you, you know? I mean, that's how, I won't get into that political thing either. But he's like, yeah, why don't you just go up to the bar right now, Ryan? Go up to the bar and give me your phone number and your address. I'm like, oh, God. So I'm like, okay, at least the walk will get me a breath of fresh air as opposed to, like, this rank odor which I'm smelling off this, like, man, I think. So I go walking up there, and I'll ask the bartender. I'm almost pleading with him at this point, right? I say, can you just do me a favor and give me, like, a piece of paper and a pen? He's like, sure. So I write down Ryan on the first, on the side, and I write down cell number. I don't have a cell number. So I'm like, scratch it out, and I flip it over and I go, Ryan, pager number. I don't have a pager either. Let's just make up 7 digits. Da-da-da-da-da. And then just to make it look really sincere, I write or, underlining the or, and I'm like, well, shit, I'll get an optional cell number type of thing, right? I'm like, well, whose cell number? I don't have a cell number. I don't want to give anybody's cell number away, and it's got to be sound somewhat legit. So I go into my wallet. I'm up at the counter, like, stumped at what I can do to, like, throw this guy off at this point. I've been up there for, like, 3 minutes. I go into my wallet, pull up my phone list, and look up the phone number for my ex-girlfriend, Karen, her cell phone number. And I write that down, right? So, and I know the phone number is, like, deactivated, right? So, he comes up, puts a hand on my shoulder. I get creeped out. And it's, like, kind of like that. Oh, look, I'm being handled by a pedophile. He sees the phone list. I fold it up, tuck it back into my wallet calmly at this point. And he goes, oh, what's that? What's that? I'm like, oh, these are the numbers you can get in touch with me at Rock, right? And, like, now the bartender's back again, and he sees the two of us, like, exchanging numbers, and he must think I'm, like, a dealer now. He's like, oh, get out of here, go back to the corner. I'm like, oh, great, right? So I have to fade back into the darkness, watching my friends play pool, and sit down next to Rock. And he's got this piece of paper. He's like, oh, is this a good number? I'm like, yeah, well, actually, that's my page number. I said, I just got work again, and I'm going to get that activated next Friday when I get paid. And he's like, now he's all suspicious. He's like, oh, he's like, come on, Ryan, you're not lying to me now, are you, buddy? And I'm like, no, Rock, it's true, right? So I'm like, yeah, you know, I just got a new job, you know, I get paid next week. First thing I got to do is get my pager activated so I can get in communication with people. I've been down for a while, it kind of sucks, right? So what's this bottom number? I said, that's my girlfriend's cell phone number, wank, wank. You can call me there, but try that first number first in like a week type of thing, right? I was like, oh, okay. He says, you're not trying to like throw and pass me or anything like that, are you? I'm like, Rock? No way, man. I want to be there for your wedding. I want to be there for you, right?
Isn't just a little bit of curiosity make you want to go to the wedding?
Not unless I'm packing. Hey, Rock, guess what? Fire cleanses. Ever heard of a shotgun wedding? So.
Try a new spin on that.
Yeah, exactly, right? So he's like, so if I call you at the end of next week, this number will be up, right? I'm like, yeah, no problem, man, like, for sure. I said, you know, if it's not up on the Friday, because that's when I get paid, try me on the Saturday. I said, one of those 2 days for sure, right? And now he's got to go with his nephew at this point. So I'm like, thank God, exit stage left. So he's walking away, and we shake hands and all the rest of it, because we're buddies now. And he turns around about halfway up the bar and says, so I'm phoning you on, like, you know, the 28th there. I'll be able to get in touch with you. I'm like, you bet, pal. You bet, right? He's like, all right, Ryan, you take care. I'm like, oh, my God. So I finally get my game of pool in against Neil. And we go to leave, and I look back, and he's left his packet of cigarettes there with some in it. I don't care because I don't smoke. And he's left the Zippo. So Shane comes up to me and he's like, oh, the guy leave his stuff there? I'm like, yeah. He says, oh, pocket it. I'm like, well, I should probably just turn him in type of thing, right? He says, well, what, so somebody else can steal it? I'm like, eh, good point. I'll leave the cigarette package for somebody as a bonus. But I want the Zippo as memento of my friend Rocky the Junkie. So I think I'm going to get that engraved on the Zippo. But there's two morals of the story. Number one, don't ever go up to the Alder Grove Hotel. Ever. It's bad. Number two, if you're a guy, I know girls do this all the time, but if you're a guy and you go into a scummy establishment like this and you have to strike up a conversation with a drunk, use an assumed name. I like the name Richard because every one of us can be a dick. So that's my Rocky the Junkie story.
Do you have that lighter with you right now?
Unfortunately, I don't. It's at home. I forgot to pack it. But
because we're going to have to scan that in.
Okay.
And put it on the webpage.
Done deal. Rocky the Junkie's lighter.
Yep.
Yeah.
Next time, use the ultimate assumed name. Chris King.
Chris King is the ringleader.
Yeah, Chris King is the ringleader.
Chris King is the ringleader.
So.
Hey, play the promo that we lost. And rediscover.
The lost promo of the company.
Last week, we had a promo that we played like umpteen billion times because we always do that. And then somehow we deleted it off the computer.
The Lost Nazi Gold promo.
The Lost Nazi Gold promo. So, anyways, we've been recording. We recorded last show, and we're recording this one as well. And the last show, we had it on tape, and the quality was really good, so we got it back. It was just as good as it was to begin with. Like, there was no loss of sound quality. So here it goes.
Hey, welcome to our new show on RantRadio.com.
You're going to love it. We've got some great new stuff coming to you. We've decided to drop that independent sound and go with some great Moffat sounds.
And here's some Rita McIntyre coming up.
And new Kids on the Block.
You're going to love it. It's all there for the completely mundane.
Check out our webpage. You're going to love it. It's a new sound for Rant Radio.
Oh, that was a close one.
Yeah, we appear to have lost power there. We'll be back on, thank goodness, to our Honda generator we picked up from Home Desk Buy. A great buy.
Oh, that power. Now, get ready for some nice, relaxing sounds. Whoa, sounds like someone's at the door.
Yeah, they don't sound too friendly.
Oh, it's a good thing we have that steel door with the reinforced oak bar. Hey, what's going on?
Hey, what the hell?
You can say that again.
What the hell?
It's too bad about that generator. Probably could have let them live.
But dude, they played Hanson.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Sunday at night. Sunday at night.
All right, we're back and we're gone. So DJ Vortex and Projectile Vomit Man are leaving. Right, see you later, man.
South Park was right. The Cure does rock.
Okay, we got Anki.
Where the hell do you think I'm going? I live here. Yeah, next!
They're going.
Hi, everybody.
Bye. Oh, I guess I should say bye to you.
I know this is really stupid and cheesy, but we've done it every other time, so we're going to do it this time, too. Or Ryan's going to stab you.
Good night.
I'm not leaving. I'm going to Enki's room.
I wouldn't advise that.
Goodbye. This is Dak, and once again, remember, I hate you all.
And this is Sumerian saying goodbye for another week.
All right.
This is What the Hell.
What the Hell show. Hopefully we'll have as many promos for you next week, but it's not likely because we went mad this week.
Insane.
But, all right. Thanks a lot for listening, and make sure you listen again next week. Hey, did we mass spam everyone this week?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
But they didn't listen. They're all away on vacation. We didn't have very many people listening, but that doesn't matter. They can listen to it.
We had lots
archive.
Of phone calls today.
Do you guys do archive of laws? We're going to.
You have to talk for a bit because.
Oh, we're speaking. We have to keep talking because there's so many people. Go to bed. You have to get up early for. If anybody wants to come to our volleyball game tomorrow, it's at 344-199 A Street, and it starts at Langley, British Columbia, Canada. And we're starting between 1 and 2. Yeah. So if you want to, come on down. It's going to be fun. What did he say?
He said Rocky the Junkie.
Yeah, by the way, Rocky the Junkie is not invited to the party tomorrow.
If you're listening, we are armed. There'll be a guard at the door.
You can have your lighter back if you can take it from my cold, dead hands.
Finds what he's looking for and puts a thunder bomb in the slug's air hole. Bobby's got a team of slug. 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 Up. Dad walks in, but he don't care. Dad
Yeah. Could I speak to the man of the house, please?
Okay, I'll wait.
Hi, I'm Roger, from Representative McDonald's. I was wondering if you've tried our new pizza.
Oh, really? I'd like to tell you about them. We have three different kinds. We have the ham and pineapple, the deluxe, and the pepperoni. And in the ham and pineapple, there's the ham and the pineapple. And in the deluxe pizza, there's... It's sort of like the same as a regular pizza, except it's deluxe. And lastly, we have the pepperoni pizza, and in that, the main topping is pepperoni. So what do you think?
That's good. We're also featuring next month our new Butter McCheese. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
How you doing? Most of the guys I see are straight. So are the girls. I made this message for you so you can get in contact with me. If you want to phone me in the morning, don't, because I'll get mad at you and refuse to see you that day. If you want to phone me at night, probably won't get a hold of me because I'll be at Corey's. So when you call me up, you can ask me just... How you doing? Most of the guys I see are straight. So are the girls. I made this message for you so you can get in contact with me. If you want to phone me in the morning, don't, because I'll get mad at you and refuse to see you that day. If you want to phone me at night, probably won't get a hold of me because I'll be at Corey's. So when you call me up, you can ask me just two questions. Can I jump in my car and come right over, or can I come over first thing in the tomorrow morning? If you want to shave your legs, or make a peanut butter sandwich, or tune your guitar, do it first before you call me. Never. Never phone me at 4:30 in the morning. Never. Because I'll have to refuse to see you that day. So if you want to hear from me, leave a message after the, beat.
Manipulative piece of slime. How could you fucking do that with my girlfriend, you asshole? You're a fucking mind game playing manipulative piece of fucking shit. I don't know why you could play fucking mind games with someone. Why do you do that? Mimi's fucking, she's all fucking all over the place. I don't, what's your fucking problem? Why can't you go get your own girlfriend, huh? You gotta screw around with someone else's. Yeah, maybe you didn't fuck her, but you did everything else. I can't fucking believe you. Holy fuck. Fucking loser. What's your problem? You gotta play mind games with someone. Oh, Mark will never find out. Mark doesn't have to know. Fucking... I don't ever want you to fucking talk to her again. I don't want you to fucking call her again. Nothing. And if you got a problem, you can call me. 420-3712.
End of message. To erase this message, press 7. To save it, press 9. Resaved. Next message.
Nessie Dat. Chocolate Brat. Bruno Sass. And he's bouncing. Happiness is calling. Jumping, jumping, jumping. Bring that bad breath. Bring that bad breath. Drink more. Mix well. Love that hyper smell. Smell. Bring that chocolate and milk. Come together. Let's see, we can pass.
now.
Thank you.
You're still recording. Okay, so you dropped in there, so we would basically get a bite to eat, unwind, I'd tell them the nightmare story of the day, and I would basically decompress so I didn't end up killing anyone, especially in my own personal life. Well, we started going in there on a regular basis for also a couple of other reasons, the fact that both of us were hitting each on one of the waitresses that were in there, which is really special considering, you know, at the time, Kurt was dating Kathy. Who we was also living with us. It was also living with us at the same time.
Okay.
Well, then, if she jiggled any more, Bill Cousin would come along and shove a spoon in her ass.
That's amazing. I'm actually offended. Not enough to not appreciate it.
But the it got to the point where the waitresses in there started using me as unpaid security.
on 4 separate occasions, I had to dribble somebody and open a door with their face.
Wow. Dribble somebody.
Basically, I grab a guy and basically bounce him. You see, when a person's arguing, and up to the point where they're basically still... You ever notice the way drunks basically start a fight? I'll kick your ass, man. Well, they're doing that. Don't wait for anything. Grab them by the throat and shove their head into a wall. I do that 3 or 4 times, and then I give what I call the bum's rest. Let's grab back of the neck, pants, lift up, and walk and go through the door.
It's nice when you have the power to do that, but you know. Okay, you can manhandle everyone on the planet.
I cannot manhandle everyone. I've gotten my ass kicked more times than I care to talk about.
But how many asses have you kicked?
No, actually, I used to get, because I grew up in a neighborhood that was mostly black and Puerto Rican.
Oh.
For the first... I'm from Brooklyn. Yeah, I think I've told you that, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. The first 15, 16 years of my life, from the time I started going to school, I averaged 1 to 2 fights a week. And for the first 5 years of going to school, until I was about grade, I guess it was about, like, not quite grade 5, I was about halfway through grade 4, I basically used to get my ass kicked once or twice a week. So I just got to the point where I no longer cared. And once that happened, I started winning the fights.
I shed it all this. Question that one kick.
Best one I ever had, I was in grade 4, I believe.
Is the show still on?
No,
we're just
still recording because there's one that came across and we can't record another show on the tape.
So
we don't have enough room on the tape to record another show.
But we've got enough to fix more stuff.
But we can do vocal stuff. Yeah. It is. Grade 4. This is back in my day and age where, like, BMX bikes were the shit. They were, like, you had to have,
yeah,
like, diamond back. Yeah, exactly, right? It's like, boom. You know, if you don't have this, you're nothing, right? So we had this black kid in school, my best friend, named Andrew. And he was, like, the only black kid. And he was, like, super easygoing guy. We used to spend our summers together and all the rest of it. And I was, like, even, well, obviously smaller than I was now. But, I mean, me as a kid back then was just like, wow, you're a Smurf, right? So,
la 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 la.
Yeah, exactly,
la,
right? La, la, la. So Joby, I was like pissed off. I didn't have the power projection hair that I do now. So,
angry Smurf.
That's right.
He was Napoleon Smurf.
Exactly. So, anyways, these kids, like the tough kids, who always wear the jean jackets and stuff like that.
The jean jackets,
right? That was a tough guy look back then. Used to call Andrew Benson, obviously, because, well, Benson was black, right? I was like, you know, my mom raised me. It's like, you know, you don't be a racist. You like people for who they are and not for, you know, don't dislike people because of their skin color. So I'm like, you know, standing up for my only black friend going, hey, you shouldn't do that. Right? Well, there's a family of people, or there's a family of kids that are the Voths. Bad news kids. I'm sure every one of them is, like, now in jail.
No, Chris isn't in jail yet.
No?
Actually, Chris straightened right out except he just bought a Harley.
What about Toby?
Toby, I heard that he tried to molest a 3-year-old girl and he stole bikes.
He tried to what?
Molest a 3-year-old girl. Don't worry, many a person's handed him his ass because of that incident.
Can I ask you a question, though?
Yeah.
How did you fail to molest a 3-year-old girl?
I got busted by the 3-year-old girl's parents.
Oh, okay.
Hence the first ass handing.
Yeah, see Angry Dad, side note 1.
Yeah.
So when you're done with this, remind me to tell you a story about my nephews.
Okay. So
I'm wasting all these stories.
No, you can always repeat them. Yeah, this is Corey. So anyways, they come up, and because I'm standing up for Andrew, they don't like me too much anymore, right? So the little Toby Voth guy comes up to me, and he's got, like, the bad hair, and he just looks kind of evil at, like, you know, grade 4, right? And he starts, like, pushing me, telling me he's going to kick my ass at the bike racks after school and all the rest of it. And I've got, like, you know, that was the spot, man. That was the spot to get your ass handed to you, was the bike racks, right? So, and I'm freaking terrified at this point. So I've only got can do what I can do. I've got the red lunchbox in the hand, and it was straight from the hip, wham, side of the head. He goes down.
You must have loved that melon.
Yeah. It was like, it totally reminds me of it, right? So, and he goes down, like, hard. And, like, starts crying, and he's holding his head. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to die now. I run. Well, school starts, okay? So I go running into classroom. I'm like, thank God, refuge until recess. So people are like, whoa, sense on
the
spot.
Is this some sort of erogenous zone? What's wrong with touching your forehead?
Okay. No. You're interrupting my story for perverse pleasures.
This bothers you or something?
Yes. Really
okay, go ahead.
So anyways, the entire day people are saying, you're going to get your ass kicked. We're going to beat you up. I'm like, I'm going to die. Right? Because I can't get...
Yes.
Yes. Yes, that's movie is horrible.
That was the picked on slash nerd kids like movie. Right? So... In the later part of the afternoon, I take a bathroom break, go walking down the hall. Coming around the corner is this Toby kid. I'm like, great, I'm going to die in the hall.
I don't even get to live until 3.
Yeah, so, and he's still holding his head. He comes up to me and goes, I don't want to fight you after school. I'm like, okay, I don't want to fight you either. And we kept going on our merry way. That was it. That was me standing up to the bully and kicking his ass. And I was just like, oh, I did the right thing, and I didn't die for it.
You know what?
Wow.
That same punk kid. When I was in high school, me and Chris actually used to be kind of be friends. And Chris was an okay guy. He was a little bit shifty, but he was an okay guy. But Chris got busted. Yeah, nice preface there. Chris got busted by his mom for stealing stuff from Radio Shack. He was stealing parts to make a stun gun or something. Anyways, the thing was that Chris said that he was going to make me a stun gun too, or whatever. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I think that was what it was. So I thought it was pretty cool. And his brother ratted him out, just for fun. So I kicked Toby's ass in a big, big way in high school. I've stuffed his face into a locker and proceeded to pummel him from the back and the kidneys and stuff with everything I had. I just thought that would make you happy.
I beat up a bully once. These two kids, they would follow me home.
Brad.
They what? No, it, that he, Brad wasn't a bully.
No, that was the best part I've ever seen.
Oh, that's so bad. No. Anyways. All right. Yeah. Anyway, so. Okay, so these two kids, they would follow me home after school, and they'd grab my bike and lift the back tire off the ground so I couldn't drive anywhere, and they would just not let me go anywhere. They didn't beat me up. They just, like, it was worse, because if they beat me up, then I'd fight back, right? Or whatever. You know, whatever would happen. I'd get shit kicked out of me, what have you, right? Anyway, so one night we're at the tetherball in the... In the playground. We're at tetherball in the playground. And one of the two guys, vicious bloody game, yeah. One of the two guys, I can't even play. I never play. But one of the two guys decides to butt in front of me in line. And I don't know why, but I just lost it. And I just started, kink! Ah! And I just started swinging my arms like crazy. And I guess I kicked the shit out of him. And he goes running down the street. And he starts coming back to get his bike. But it's near my bike, and I think he's coming to get my bike for revenge, right? And I freak out and start chasing after him, and he runs away, blubbering, "Hey, my bike!" Ah! It was awesome. I never had to deal with those guys again.
That was actually the way I found how to get out of situations, was to literally show that if they wanted to bother you, it was not worth it. I had this one guy who... for months, basically, had kicked the crap out of me routinely, at least once or twice a week, like I said. And I finally, like, every time he would start, basically, he would, like, start saying something, start up, like, just verbally assaulting me. Instead of running away or hiding, I would just basically say something back to him. He would basically beat the crap out of me. And finally, somebody said, why do you keep, like, standing up to him? He beats you up every time. And I'm like going, well, because you see, one day he's not going to be on his ball. I'm going to be better than average. And I'm just going to keep beating him until he's dead. And then everyone, like, this got back to him, and everyone was like, the white kid's crazy. Leave him the fuck alone. He's a nut. And, you know, he left me alone. And other people started leaving me alone because I figured if, like, George will not, like, attack Desmond because Desmond is a nutcase, maybe it would be a good idea for none of them to attack Desmond either.
Fear.
fear is my ally.
I've only gotten into one fight in my life, and I started it. Okay, this guy bothered me all the time at school. It was in grade 7. He really, really pissed me off. I don't know what he did. He's like stole stuff and took it away from me. And went, just a dick, general, all-around dick.
He bullied me,
not physically, but, you know, just bugged the crap out of me. Yeah, it's worse. And then one day he took my whiteout and went outside with it, and that was the last straw. And like, I'm so fed up with this guy. And he was pretty tough. Yeah,
you must die!
My stationery, my whiteout! I need it! So we go outside, or I follow him outside, and there's a little slope, and we go down into the slope, and I say, give me back my whiteout. Yeah, no, I'm not going to give it back. Give me back my whiteout now. And he wouldn't give it back, so I went, wham! And probably missed. I can't remember. It was so full of adrenaline or whatever. And we start at it, and I don't know if I'm punching him, and I don't know if he's punching me, but all of a sudden he stops. He goes, hey man, you're bleeding. Your nose is bleeding. We better stop and go in. I'm like, what? So we go back inside, and we had both had to do lines. But it's funny, like, he stopped fighting with me.
The worst ass kicking I ever got in elementary school is my own damn fault. I didn't start the fight, but I sure invited it. I'm one of those people who always fidgets with something in their hands. If they're not doing anything, and class was one of those times when, you know, you're listening to the teacher or whatever. I had a blue felt marker, and I was fidgeting with it, and I somehow absentmindedly managed to draw a curly mustache on my face. I did not realize I had... No, I was just sort of like
what grade was this?
Like 2 or 3.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Ken, what, no, 12.
Because if you were older than that, I would have said I'd had no problem beating you up myself.
It was weird, though, because the reason I was pushing against my face was because, like, I thought the ink had run out on it. It was a pen that hadn't worked forever. And I somehow managed to give myself a curly mustache. And I went outside, like, completely unbeknownst to me, and this kid gets up and goes, what the fuck have you done? And he actually swore at me. Like this little kid was nasty. And he said, and I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, you look stupid. You got a mustache. I'm like, I do not. You drew a mustache on yourself, boy. And then 4 or 5 kids in unison started going, fag, fag, fag. So like, I didn't know what happened. And the kid just came up and didn't like my mustache. And beat the snot out of me and rubbed my face in the gravel.
Wow, what a mean little prick.
No.
Little kids are mean.
My first day in school, when I...
Oh, don't put the strap up like that.
Oh.
Don't stretch it out?
No.
Your helmet print was...
Oh, sorry. My first day of school in Canada, I managed to get suspended.
Good work.
I was not in school for more than 20 minutes. They give me all my books, because the way I got here, because I came here September 2nd, 1982. 1203 was when we landed.
How old are you?
I was 17 at the time.
In 82?
Yeah.
You do the math.
He's 33, correct?
Well, that's still too not right. 1782. Okay, yeah, all right.
It has been known to happen to people.
I'm counting your change in my head.
14, 16, come on!
Sorry, man, go ahead.
They gave me all my books for the entire year. They gave me a locker to myself because they put me down at the very far end near the portables where the shop classes were. So I'm down there, and I'm putting my books in my locker, and I'm going through everything, just like, you know, trying to find a place to put all this shit. And this guy comes up behind me, and I wasn't wearing the same clothes everybody else was. I used to wear a pair of boots. Not really cowboy boots. They were cowboy boots, but they were like square cut instead of pointy toed. The reason I carried those was because back in New York, I used to have a Bowie knife that I carried inside there. And with that in heavier, you know, kind of bootcut jeans, you wouldn't really notice that it was in there. And so the kid sees my boots. He says, "Guy thinks he's a fucking cowboy. What a nerd!" And he shoves me from behind, and I hit my head on the coat hook. And I kind of come out ready to fight, and I look, and he's walking down the hallway with his friends. And now remember, I've just come from New York. So the first thought that's going through my mind is, sweet Jesus, this guy's an idiot. He's turned his back on me. So without, like I said, having actually taken all the books out of the bag, I run up with the bag, and I cold cock him in the back of his head. He goes out. I jump on top of him, and I'm thinking, okay, I'll split his head open. So I'm starting to bounce his face on the ground. When I feel somebody beside me trying to pull me off, I think, ah, it's one of his friends getting in.
Oh, no.
So bring back the elbow, and I hear a nice crunch, and I know I've broken bone. So I spin around, get up, and I'm basically ready to take a couple of other guys up because I don't know how many are going to jump me. I don't know if they're running with any crews or anything. And it's the it's the shop teacher. And he's kind of laying back up against the wall, and his nose is spread over his face.
You should have really known.
So you got to understand, I'm not, I like to say I'm not really a violent person, but I am. I don't normally hit people that I know. I'm going to have to shut up on that one because I punched out Todd last night.
Ow, my rib, Desmond.
Todd, you know Todd.
Vortex?
Really?
Yeah. We were at the Blarney Stone, and I've never, ever hit anyone when I got drunk before, but Todd decided to pick on me at the worst possible moment about the worst possible subject. So I didn't hit him in the face or anything. I just turned around and cold cocked him right in the arm, but his arm now is bruised, like up and down.
He didn't want to talk about that tonight.
No, he didn't. Well, actually, I apologized right away as soon as I kind of, like, realized when I was sober what I had done. At the time, I wasn't. I was really mad at him. But I don't normally hit people I know for, like, no reason. And with you, you know that was a complete accident. I squeezed him and broke his ribs.
It was the up-and-jerk maneuver.
Yep. We were just fooling around, and he basically did this vicious snap kick that if he had really meant it, would have cleaned my fucking clock. And so I basically went, okay, enough of this fooling around, because we were just trying to slap each other, just play slap. And I said, enough of this, I'm just going to grab him and put him in a bear hug, right? And not really mean a bear hug, because I didn't even really squeeze what I thought was hard. I just grabbed him and picked him up, and I cracked his ribs.
Oh. Tom don't know bounds.
Yeah.
I don't like people doing that to you.
He's the only guy that's ever attempted to pick me up like that. I mean, Darcy sort of spun me upside down, but it's not like bear hug type of stuff.
Yeah.
So. Oh. You're always trying to do.
Who hit you?
It was my roommate, Toby. He's like. Oh.
Okay. We always bug Toby. We call him Warren. You guys have seen Something About Mary?
Oh, yeah.
Warren?
Yeah, I unfortunately have not, fortunately have not, I should say.
Well, you know the guy. Have you seen my baseball? Okay, yeah, we... Yeah. Yeah, we...
You'll piss yourself laughing.
We always call him Warren. So for his birthday, we got him a set of earmuffs, a way too small 80s New York Mets jacket, and a baseball. And I got to deliver the baseball. And you know how Ben Stiller does in the movie? He goes, "It's right behind your ear." And then Warren freaks out and beats the hell out of him. Right? Well, Toby, trying to act the part, when I pulled up behind his ear, he goes, "Oh," like that. Except he punched me. Like I think it's this side. It's got a little red mark.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to get a black eye because he goes, "Crack!" And I'm like, "Oh!" I was like, exactly the same. The only thing he didn't do was airplane spin me and drop me to the ground.
I'd have paid money to see that.
Screams coming from the office in the living room.
Like, get mad at him because all we did was play out exactly what happened. All we did was play out exactly what happened in the movie. So I was like, he's like, "I'm sorry." I'm like, "I've got a black eye and I'm laughing about it." That was all right though.
You can tell the tinfoil ball on the story on the paper.
What? Tinfoil ball. That's the prelude to Palmolive. No, but it's not good enough by itself. No, it's just that I got a tinfoil ball in the eye and had to have an eye patch. But I'm gonna start getting into my toilet stories.
Yeah,
No, that's okay.
the ones with the toilets that spit at me? Oh, yeah, the Blondismo bomb. I got to write about that. Last time I dyed my hair. Okay, did you know that if you leave that solution by itself, it expands inside the container and then seals it up and then continues to expand? I didn't. And I left it over the weekend. And I came back after the weekend. And I see this, like, if you've ever seen the Blondismo solution before you apply it to your hair, it's purple. And it stinks like ammonia.
Yeah, turn back as it is. Black.
Yeah. And anyway, I came back, and there's this, like, bluish-purpley-black streak across the mirror. I'm like, this, man. How the hell? And I looked down, and Toby and Paige were there and said, Corey, come clean up the bathroom. I'm like, what's he talking about? I didn't mess up the bathroom. So I come back. There's this thing on its side, expanded, like, out. Like, it's gone from, like, the bottom has gone from concave to convex. And it's like, sitting there like this, and the hole is plugged at the end, so it's sealed inside, and it's continually expanded. And I'm like, oh, no, I have a Blondismo bomb. I'm like, I've got to defuse it. You can't just leave it, right, or it'll blow up. So I'm like, I can't defuse it in the sink, because that'll be so messy, it'll be beyond belief. And the thing is, if it touches your clothes are roast. So in order to defuse the bomb, I strip down to my skivvies, and I'm in the bathroom, and I'm like, how am I going to get rid of this? I'm like, so I'm like, all right, I could do it in the bathtub, but I don't know how much time I've got before this thing blows on its own, right? It's total Mission Impossible music going on, right? Because it's like, because I didn't know how long I had before it blew, and I'm like, because it'd been there like 2 days, right? So I'm like, shit. So like, okay, well, the toilet's clean. I'm gonna stick it in the toilet and aim it towards the back of the toilet bowl, right? Well, I did, but I went like, I have to use both hands for this. But I took the bottle and I went to unscrew it. As I went to unscrew it, like this is before I put it in the toilet, just, you know, test the water. It's like, that, you know, so to speak, like it was, I could feel the pressure going. I was like, no fucking way. This is going in the toilet. So like, bloop. Blort. and it shoved the tip out of my hand. It went boom, and then like back into the toilet or whatever. But there's blue all over like the inside of the toilet, which is best case scenario. Right? So I'm like, all right, good deal. So I wipe it all up and leave. Except I didn't get the stuff that hit the bottom of the seats. I got a page from Toby later. Corey, what is all this blue shit on the bottom of the toilet seat? That's my story.
I just like the visual of Corey in his underwear kneeling
diffusing an ammonia bomb.
If you know Corey's bathroom at all, there's two doors, only one of which locks. The other door goes straight into a bedroom through which anybody could walk in at any point.
Corey looks up.
Oh, there's the picture of the century.
I'll be honest, I would have screamed like a little girl at that point and run.
I've had so much dumb shit happen to me, I don't care what people
think
of me anymore.
You're fucking amazing. You are, you really are.
Oh, the toilet one I was talking about was when I was on the ferry.
How about when your sewer backed up and there's a sump that came out of the toilet and nobody's in the house?
That was frightening.
That pair of underwear that showed up in our house. When we lived together a few months ago, we were cleaning out the laundry room or something. I can't even remember how it came up. Ryan had already moved out. Ryan is, like, your size. This pair of men's underwear, like...
Fly the flag, baby.
They came up, brown streaks and all.
Oh, skid marks, yeah.
The house was empty when we moved in.
And they left it on my bed. Because they thought it was mine. I'm like, this is not my underwear. This is not mine. No, but what James is talking about is we have a septic tank on my parents' property when I lived there. And what's your problem? You were such a pussy. What happened to you?
I'm kind of still hungover.
Guys, you're ruining all...
No, no.
There's
a million.
No such thing as endless amounts.
And they're not endless, but there's millions.
He'll have two or three by
the time. No, he hasn't. He doesn't know me in depth. He's known me for a long time. He doesn't know.
Corey is a Langley legend for stories.
It's me and Crazy Bob, Matt.
You know Crazy Bob? I went to high school with him.
What? Really?
I grew up on the same street as Crazy Bob. Oh, my God.
And his name's not Bob, but if you call him by anything else, he gets mad.
Yep.
Yeah, he hates that.
Actually, I was working the last night I worked at the hospital, period, before we got transferred out of there, was the night that he got into his car accident.
Oh. On the New carnage, York. Bumper stickers everywhere.
It was.
He'd been in a car accident.
Yeah, it was on a New Year's Eve. He got crunched really bad.
Really?
Well, actually, it wasn't too bad. He basically was just, they just brought him in on a backboard with a neck brace on because he was drunk, but he wasn't driving when they got hit. So they were basically taking extra care with him and everything, and he wasn't too happy about having a neck brace on. So I had to basically stay about an extra, it was about half an hour that I got overtime, so that we could keep him calm until they found out that he didn't need the neck brace. Yes, no, then yes. And I only knew him for about 6 months because I just gave up with school up here. See, I was grade 11 back in the States, and I came up here, and they decided, well, one, I don't have French, and two, my math qualifications, because the American system isn't equal to the Canadian, so they shoved me back to grade 8.
You were 17?
Yeah. By the way, I had the second highest score. We have basically an English test, which is citywide and statewide. I had the second highest English score ever in the history of the state for reading comprehension.
And
they
put you back to grade 8.
Yeah, I'm not an idiot.
Like,
I was 90.
So
I was high 90s.
You're from Brooklyn,
average.
Right?
Yeah.
And was like Joe Clark your principal? Like, you know, lead on me? That's how
no.
I always picture Brooklyn
no.
schools.
No, not quite
yeah,
that
yeah,
bad.
That one school out of what, the 40 of them?
No, I know, but it's just, it's always how I picture it, right? Because,
yeah.
Like, there's so many stereotype movies about schools
in
that area.
I went to Brooklyn Technical High School. Brooklyn Tech is the largest school in New York. It is basically, our student population is 10,300.
Holy shit, that's all
year.
Langley schools combined.
It was, it's 8 stories high, a full city block. We had elevators. We had a football on the roof. Football field on the roof.
Out of bounds. Ah!
No. No, it had huge, huge, like, 3-story high chain fence, like, with a net that basically went over it, almost like a friggin' dome.
Cool.
Did it look like a prison?
Yes.
I thought so. You know what? I can't hear anymore.
Well,
that's it. I wash my hands of it. I'm leaving you people. You're too fun. I can't stand you anymore.
I can't stand the waste. It's like a waste.
What? We can't tell these stories again?
You can, but you can't tell so many good stories all at once. It's wasteful.
I make a column out of it.
I know, but it comes out once a month.
Or twice a
month. I don't know. I know this is a social problem with me. It's mental. It's a psych.
Yes.
Problem.
Yes, it is.
You can get help, Darcy.
But I can't.
We're here for you.
It's wrong. There's something wrong. I don't need a hug.
Verbal waste.
It's like you have to build up to a story, and they're all good, so there's no build up. I don't know what it is.
Oh, no, I agree that it's better when they say you need to part way. Like when it's just like right
no, it's not that. It's, that is good too. But it's like.
You didn't nap.
I don't know why.
Your life is so hard.
I sleep for 12 hours. I'm up for 5 hours. That's because I'm nap.
Because you sleep for 12 hours.
No, she's going to be a baby.
You pregnant?
Yeah.
Seriously? No.
It's only a reason problem.
Oh, okay.
Have you heard my theory with that? I'm
As you can tell, it's really chilling.
Oh, yeah.
How far along are you?
Because, you know, I don't want to see me.
No.
Because she's always so skinny, I just wanted her to get this big fat ass,
like
it's
just
a really
fat ass. He just wants to be able to call me fat ass and
no, mean it.
I took it back.
He was
so
excited the day I told him. Just because he wants to call me
fat ass. So do you know if it's a boy?
You called me fat ass
already.
11 weeks. They can tell
fat ass.
Whether it's a boy or girl.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I see you had a nice ass. I can actually see it.
Okay, let's talk about my butt now.
No, let's keep going.
Show's over.
God, that could have come with no work short.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
Is that coming?
What?
Yeah, we'll put that one on tape.
Oh, it's there. Wait, it's out of focus.
For when we're saying stuff? Yeah. We actually didn't hold back.
No, it was awesome. Not. Wow, I'm on tape. Body looks weird. I look all like Iggy Pop.
Sickly Man magazine. Did you see that?
Yeah. Boom! Look at that, it's pretty.
Yeah.
It's weird, it's totally Iggy Pop, like.
Iggy Pop's not so muscular.
I'm not very muscular, I'm just saying, I look like.
Did you see that episode of Tom Green where he's on Sickly Man magazine?
No. Sickly Man magazine.
Yeah, some fake covers. Very funny. And laying on the ground by a toilet.
Naked? No.
Oh, half naked. Oh, that's awesome.
I can't picture him.
You don't want to.
Oh. There they go.
Chick from Victoria's coming to the barbecue.
I have no idea if some chick from Victoria's come to the barbecue, because I don't even know who that was. I didn't know we had many female listeners. I have no idea who that was.
Raw.
It could have been. It could have been anyone. I have no idea.
Saying her different. Yeah. Well, Anise and what was it? I think it was Full Class.
Same person. Yeah. Okay. Get this.
Get the chest.
Derek's special talent.